Following is a Red Shovel Network production. The Red Shovel Network consists of The Drew Mack Show, Child of the Duff's No Bullshit News, Emma Everett's Soul of Detroit, and No Filter Sports and shit. Enjoy the following Red Shovel Network production, please.
Hey, what's poppin'? The Deals in the D. The DealsInTheD.com studios bring you the Drew and Mike Show as we head into the weekend with Trudy, Mark, Brandon, and Joey. I got a couple emails about Mike Clark. Mike Clark is no longer with us. Mike died October the 16th. It is still the Drew and Mike Show. I feel the need to point that out occasionally.
Yeah.
I guess I assume too much sometimes. I want to start out. We have heard from more people in the DTE family.
Oh, great. What side of the family?
The family with the lazy-ass sister.
Yeah.
Who DT just backed a Brinks truck into her house.
Yep.
She just for showing up a couple times. I'll get to that in a minute.
Just for showing up a few times.
Mace is a top spot to celebrate your birthday, rehearsal dinner, graduation party, wedding, or baby shower in their first-class private mezzanine. They specialize in taco, fajitas, nacho bars, as well as complete custom menus to suit your every private party need. Mesa Tacos and Tequilas, ideally located in the heart of downtown Royal Oak, just 10 minutes from everywhere. Call Jenna or Tim and make your reservations today. We have Ben Folds coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Folds is playing Sunday at Meadowbrook, correct?
Yeah, with the Violent Femmes.
Wow, that's a
good
interesting
line.
Bill.
Like that. Yeah. And he's got a new book out, too.
Yes.
Uh-huh, and he's always been a spilling kind of guy, so let's see what we get out of him. We were hoping to talk to one of the zombies. Maybe, is that possibly?
I do sit at the piano and do lots of work, yeah.
There's actual audio of Ben.
I wonder if he's ever played with Derek.
Could Rod Argent or Colin Blunstone still happen?
Yeah, they could still happen.
Oh, okay.
I've been assured that they're not today.
Oh,
but,
okay.
You know, they're old dudes, so I think they have to pace themselves. So whatever they're doing today was way overwhelming.
They're only allowed to do one thing a day.
Yes.
Or 20 minutes would have been over the top.
I know. Wouldn't that be great, though, if you were only allowed to do one thing a day?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You got to fill that space, though, with something.
Yeah, TV.
Well, yeah, that can take up a lot. There's not enough on, though.
Oh, I disagree. Day. Someone might have said before the show that we can't wait to fast forward to the show so we can finish watching something that we were watching.
What were you watching?
Watching The Boys on Amazon, .com. It's a Seth Rogen-produced superhero-type show. Trudy's already seen it, too.
Yeah.
Well, if you haven't been watching a lot of TV, I agree. There's so much to catch up on. But if you're all caught up, sometimes it's a little distressing. There isn't more.
I know. You're right. There needs to be more. Or more time.
Yes. Brother of DT, his sister here. Really me piling on my sister as much as it seemed. She really is a nice person. I couldn't ask for a better sister. Sometimes I do get lathered up, though, especially when I see a $200 electricity bill. Also, twice in my life, I lost power for 7 days, so I understand your frustrations. I'm sure there are some hardworking and dedicated people at DTE, at least a couple.
Oh, you're my sister!
But the lifestyle that DT employs, I don't know if this apology is really an apology. The lifestyle that DTE employees are allowed to live is basically coming out of our hides in the form of ever-increasing electricity bills. Combined with a shitty service, it's almost too much to bear. I'm sure it's the exact same at Consumers Power and the Water Department. The pay and benefits of utility jobs should be commensurate with those in the private sector. I don't think the average Michigander realizes what is really going on and just assumes those jobs are like any other jobs. It's high time for them to stop sucking off our teat. Our government is not doing us any service when they allow these increases to go through without auditing the compensation benefits packages at these monopolized utility companies, like their DAC memberships.
Hey. Your company stinks.
They're more chill if they get to swim in the nude with other rich dudes every so often, and they can think more clearly about what they've got to do.
Sure.
Sounds
the power grid.
Make
it better.
Yeah, right.
Think.
And then we had another important message from
oh boy.
Not this person. Wait. David. No, not him.
I can't read it. There's no words on it.
That's true. Okay, no, it's about 911. Sorry. Jake. Oh, here we go. Okay. October 2015, I was in a similar situation, like the kid from Berkeley who was just killed in Detroit.
Oh, yeah. I read this guy's email. This is rough.
I was leaving Dakota Inn, Ratskeller, McNichols, and John R. I took one side street to get to I-75. Another driver, no lights on, driving the wrong way down a one-way street, hit me head-on.
Oh, my God.
After the dust from my airbag settled, the other driver swung my passenger door open and just started punching me repeatedly in the head and face. Nice guy. My car had already dialed 911. But during the course of the assault, I was yelling for help, telling the dispatcher I feared for my life.
911!
I was hung up on twice in a row. The third time, I was put on hold. The fourth time, the dispatcher told me I shouldn't be in that neighborhood. A few people from the neighborhood came outside and started yelling at the person assaulting me. He ran off and left his car as both our cars were totaled.
I can't believe the dispatcher said, you're not supposed to be in that neighborhood.
Incredible. I ran to a nearby Coney Island to tell police where I would be, but to call me when they arrived. They contacted me 55 minutes later.
Oh, great.
Maybe the police ought to, like, set up shop in the Coney Island.
Wait, don't hang up.
More of those.
You know, as soon as the story came up about the girl the other day, actually, Ross Jones did that story. That was a couple months ago. Wouldn't you think that would be embarrassing enough that it would get somebody off their ass to hurry some people along? Or at least let the phone ring and ring and ring and ring and ring. What, they can't stand hearing it ring, so they go, hold on.
You'd think.
I wonder what they do say. 911, hold please. Or do they go, 911, is it really bad or can you be put on hold? how do they do that? Someone inform us?
God. Megan!
I love that he tried four times. I kind of would have given up.
Well, he dialed automatically the first time.
Mm. Yeah, nice. Good car dialing 911.
Yeah, silver lining. Trudy always with the silver lining. Way to go. It's true, though.
Another car would answer and then come and help. Maybe that's
I just love this guy's
answer.
Thinking he's going the wrong way with his lights up, and he decides to beat up the other person.
Some real scum out there. I mean,
ML was on the Soul of Detroit, by the way, brand new episode talking about going through, I can't think of his name now, the guy that killed Tyler Wingate, the Berkeley.
Yeah.
Because ML's done that story and talked to the family. Pretty wild stuff. The kid just pretty nasty upbringing. It seemed like it was only a matter of time.
Jeez. Oh, the guy. Yeah. Oh, no. He's got it's a scroll. His record is a virtual scroll.
He's
it just
bad.
Goes on and on and on and on. And, you know, all these bonds and tethers and, you know, we don't want to put all these people away.
Not only that, but he seems like there's some mental illness there and there's no way to help him. And no parents. Grandma died. It's
no
rough.
Way to help.
Not really.
Huh. Then you know, have the...
We need to resort to, instead of tethers, by the way, people have to be chipped.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I know in all
like
science
in the boys,
fiction,
how they chip them.
And tattooed.
You make tons of references.
Tattooed.
Tatted?
Yes.
I don't know.
On the forehead.
Oh, that...
Like Milton
that,
Romanowski.
Yeah. Right. Yes. But then you could still wear a hat, so...
Yeah, true.
I then put a penis on their hands, put a penis on their foreheads... Put a penis on their chin.
That would call attention to them.
They would just get
glowing penises tattooed. That might stop people.
They would just go to itself.
Anyone for a penis?
They'd go to the tattoo parlor and over tat it.
Oh.
So it'd be something.
What do you make
else.
A penis into? A yeah. submarine.
A pretty cool one.
Time out. Stu says his topic is giving him sensory overload here. Could please change?
Oh,
my anxiety is flaring.
Sensory overload.
Point of personal privilege.
I know how you feel.
Triggering him.
Quick point of privilege.
Oh, my God. You know what I was watching, and I was kind of, I'm not sure what I saw exactly, but I felt momentarily triggered because they're doing the story about the national anthem assault.
Yeah.
You know, a guy picks up this kid, throws him on his head.
Did you hear his lawyer's defense?
Yeah, he said he thought he was taking orders from Trump.
Yep.
So anyway, they did the story on CNN, and at the end, the anchor says, yes, words do matter. And I'm going, wait, is she saying that that is Trump's fault? That Trump bounced the guy in his head? Trump's words?
Oh, she's saying words matter.
There's a connection
to
the story.
Sorry about that.
I'm not sure. I wasn't sure what she meant, but I thought she was saying Trump's words matter.
Well,
and therefore, because the guy went bam with that guy because he thought he was following orders. But I don't remember Trump saying any minor wearing a hat during the national anthem should be have his skull fractured.
I don't remember that.
Don't remember those
either,
words.
But, you know, there are. Well, he's hearing stuff in his head, obviously. I don't pretend to.
I think he's nuts. Yeah. I think he's completely nuts.
What if you were actually hearing Trump in your head?
Here's the way I feel about words mattering. I think we need a lot less words. I could really use a lot less words. Oh.
Well, if it wasn't Trump, it might be somebody else's words, but, you know. Alex Jones's words
it's
matter.
It's not just Trump's words.
No, I know. But I'm saying, words do matter.
I'll tell you something interesting. Oh, well, I think we can all agree that words matter. But, I mean, I thought that was so strange, and I really want to know what she was thinking. And I think I know what she was thinking. I think I get what she's saying, that the president may bear some responsibility for this assault. But nonetheless, about a half hour earlier, I was reading the story about the El Paso survivors, and the story was that they didn't want to meet with Trump. And then it said earlier they met with the mayor's office and the mayor, and I think it was maybe a state senator and a senator, and then they said,
I wouldn't want to meet with any of them. Yeah,
well, that's what I was thinking.
Why would you want to meet with any of those?
You've been shot by a mass shooter, and all these fucking politicians are badgering to meet you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to meet any of them. And then, on top of that, there's the newspaper which came in to ask them what happened. You know, who did you meet with anyone when you didn't meet with Trump? Did you meet with anyone before Trump? And I'm like, oh, my God. What if I was shot in a mass shooting? I don't want to meet any fucking politicians.
Don't people have any shame,
people,
though,
really,
that
probably.
They want to go in and posture next to a victim?
No,
of a
I know. It's amazing kinda, to me.
I know. Where are all the celebrities they want to meet? Why isn't Tom Cruise showing up to lay his hands upon them at the end of a assist and walk out backwards?
That's not really what I want to meet.
That's what I...
You know, if Elvis Costello is going to comfort me, I don't think I want it. I don't think I want to meet him when I've been shot in a mass shooting.
And you're just wearing a gown where your ass is free?
Yeah, something like that.
That's
like,
cool.
You're like shitty. You have tubes up your nose and stuff.
Anyway, yeah.
High as shit on painkillers, too, because been shot.
That might make it fun. Maybe that's why they meet with politicians. I don't know.
Then you'll ask him anything.
Very strange. Stacking them deep, selling them cheap, selling cars like candy bars, slinging heaps to all good peeps. Yes, our friends at Zotford in Holly. Known for their massive inventory, award-winning coffee, leather massage chairs, fresh movie-style popcorn, foosball, incredible deals, fast, friendly customer service. If you're interested in supporting the podcast and saving fat stacks of cash while buying or leasing your new next or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV, head to Zotford today. That's where Gary, Gabara, Anthony, Janie, Stacy, or any member of the hottest sales staff in Oakland County will make all of your automotive dreams come true. Just ask Pedro. Surf their bombastic deals and massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
Start your engines.
And Michigan's most experienced ophthalmologist, Dr. Yaldo, began performing LASIK surgery 20 years ago. 30,000 satisfied customers, the majority of whom got better than 20/20 vision. Just as importantly, they got to throw away their glasses and contacts. Corrective eye surgery is about quality of life. Has been determined to be the safest surgery in all of medicine. Dr. Yaldo has done over 20,000 multifocal lens exchange procedures, also eliminating reading glasses for 45 plus and giving them better than 20/20 vision in most cases. We've lost track, but almost 100 of our listeners have gotten one of these surgeries, all very happy. They just take a few minutes, painless. You get to throw away the old technology. It's very easy. Go to Dr. Yaldo for a free evaluation. You should get one every 2 years anyway. And they've got a $1,500 discount off the regular price.
Wow.
Yeah. At the offices of Dr. Yaldo, tell them Drew and Mike sent you for that $1,500 off. 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com.
And I got this surgeon who comes highly recommended on Yelp and some bus stations, and he says that I need surgery. So.
Oh, my God. He's probably one of my favorite characters.
Oh, yeah.
Dale Baskets.
Chippendale Baskets.
Love you. Show,
man. All she's going to do is take pictures of her titties and put it on Twitter.
He's about just, the word titties.
He's running a swap shop out of his trailer park. Amazing.
Oh, that show.
Yeah. So I was on the phone. I had the weirdest confrontation with somebody who had an affectation, speech affectation I'd never quite heard before
she
outside
couldn't
of
stop
like
laughing.
TV because, it, you know, I thought it was over dramatized. Oh, this will have to wait.
Oh,
the
no.
Whole Foundation
oh,
Hotline
really? Oh, boy,
is opening as we speak. TrueandMike.HallFG.com or click our website, fill out the online form. They'll get back to you. But fast, 19 days to saving money you are on your refi.
Dad said, son, you're fucking high. And I thought, yeah, there's a first for everything. So I took my old man's advice. Three sets of
measures. Yeah.
What? Are you serious? Ben Folds is on the phone?
Yeah, hey.
Hell yeah.
Hey, Ben.
Nice phone line, too.
Hey.
Hello, everybody.
How are you?
That does sound good. What, are you in a studio?
I am in a radio station sort of studio, but I'm talking on my phone, so nothing fancy. Hmm.
Do you do many radio interviews, by the way, these days?
Not a lot, no. I don't really do radio music exactly, you know, but, you know, every once in a while.
You don't do radio music. Now, there's a topic. Because we did radio here for a long, long time on the morning show, and we've switched to podcasting, and we have a great podcast audience, but we're pretty heavy critics of the radio world, so I can't let that go. What's wrong with radio music, Ben?
Oh, I don't know. You know, it's just not my cup of tea. That's what my mother would have taught me to say.
You don't want to hear the same. You don't want to hear the same 300 songs forever.
No, it's pretty. It's pretty rough. I think it's always been pretty rough. I mean, when I was a kid, I liked it. I'm not sure if that's because I was a kid or because it was better. But when I was listening to transistor radio under the pillow in my, you know, at night in my bedroom, you know, as a kid, you know, it's like they were like playing Marvin Gaye and stuff like that was the hits. I mean, I have to think that was a little bit better, but maybe not. Maybe what they got going is good now.
Isn't it kind of, you know, like ridiculous that the equipment for listening to music got so much better, and yet when you were listening on your transistor, you thought it was better music. I think we all think that, but yeah.
Well, I think that we do. There is a tendency to think, you know, that your music that you liked when you were a kid was the golden era. I know that's normal, but I also, you can look at the top 40 of like 1974 and it's pretty damn good. I mean, it's pretty hard to argue with, but some of that's just, I don't know. Who knows? I think that there's probably great music now that is not on the radio, and that's where the great music is. So.
That's a nice way to look at it. You know, I so agree. It's funny. My best memories of music are listening to AM radio because I did love the music then. And Marvin, who are the current Marvin Gaye's and Smokey Robinson's? Because here we are in Detroit with Motown.
Right.
And I think that was music that everyone, I mean, that was a very wide palette and a very wide demographic. And what is the Motown of today? What is it?
Well, I don't know if it can be seen that way. I mean, what the Motown was at when it was being discovered was what the Vienna, Austria of soul music. I mean, it's things happen at different times and they pop up over time. And I think, you know, rock music and, rhythm and blues and, even hip hop, they've been around for a long time now. So they're not being, the art form itself is not being discovered. Things about the art form are being discovered, but you were hearing, you know, the music in Detroit in the 70s was inventing it. And because they were inventing it, it has a certain appeal that even kids today listen to and they sample still. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of in a way, it's like the music that is about to come. It's probably absolutely outstanding, but we're still wringing that last little bit out of the tube of toothpaste of rock and roll. You know, it's like you don't think you can brush your teeth one more night with that little tube of toothpaste, but you got one more in there. So I think we're kind of at the end. I feel like we're sort of the end of the toothpaste, and someone's going to come up with something utterly outstanding very soon. But we're still celebrating the past. You know, I mean, whether it's Cardi B or whatever, it sounds like the past to me. So.
Sunday with the Violent Femmes. Ben Folds at Meadowbrook, and then also you got a book out, which is doing very well, A Dream About Lightning Bugs, which you're making an appearance in Ann Arbor at the Blind Pig on Monday.
Yep.
What time is the Blind Pig on Monday?
7 o'clock.
7? Okay. Are you playing? That's just a book thing, right? You're not playing.
The Blind Pig is a book thing, or not playing, James? Book thing. Book thing.
Okay. Cool. And by the way, you know, in reading about the book, This whole business of remembering music you heard when you were 2 years old is, I get really fascinated when people say they remember things from such a young age, but you actually remember Girl Can't Help It by Little Richard, which, what a great thing to remember. I wish I heard somebody played that when I was two, and I remember it.
Yeah, I know. I had this stack of Little Richard records, and the point I'm bringing up in the book was I was listening to so much music that I associate the music with the floor plan of the house, and we moved every year, so I can tell you the floor plans of all the 15 houses that we lived in, starting when I was 2 years old. Wow. And that's because I was listening to music. But, I mean, it's kind of well-known, the associative properties of music to the memory.
Huh. Wow.
You write about your English comp teacher being responsible for you being such a prolific writer. Did she ever come to a show?
Well, I did have my high school English teacher last night. I did a book event in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where I'm from, at my old high school, and my old English teacher made her way backstage, and she was actually kind of more of a rock star than was backstage. She put me in my place constantly.
Wow.
And that's what made you awesome. Ben Folds.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, teachers are awesome.
And, you know, the book, too, and you've always kind of spilled what's going on in your life, it seems. But, you know, the story about your grandparents, wow. I mean, he was a lot older than your grandmother, and he didn't treat her very well. And then he was kicked out of the house for being hard on your mother. Or was he hitting on your mother? I was kind of.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he only came to our house once at the. Apparently acted like a complete jackass and made a move on my mother. My father kicked him out of the house, and that's the last he saw of him.
That's your dad's dad, right?
That's my father's father.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And then, from there. Yeah. But I mean, this is a lot of stuff to get off your chest, man.
Well, people have, I mean, we're all propelled into the world by some kind of craziness in our family. Everyone's got a nutty side of the family, or hopefully it's not too close to you. You know, if it's your parents, then you're in trouble, you know, like you have to work out of that. My parents were great, which is part of the point of the books. I didn't want to, you know, I claim that I grew up with those kind of challenges, but I grew up with parents who had those kind of challenges, and that sets you on a trajectory, because my parents had to reinvent at a very young age their idea of a family, which was very informal. Like it was an anything goes kind of place. And if they'd grown up in a real kind of Leave It to Beaver sort of way, then my upbringing would have mirrored that, you know, but instead they were kind of trying to distance themselves from their crazy upbringings. And I think that that's why I was in the creative atmosphere, because they were creating as they went along.
Ben, how hard was it in the early 90s? I mean, you can play bass, you play drums in a couple bands, but in the early 90s to break out with a piano and lead with a piano, like how much pushback did you get, or did you not get any?
Well, I got a lot of pushback in the early 90s, and I couldn't get anywhere with the songs and the tapes I was making. It was the mid-90s when my band got together, and suddenly kind of grunge had sort of changed the face of music. So, you know, we broke out in about 1995. My band could not have done anything in 1993. Things changed really quickly. And the way it changed was a very open door for a band that played like we did. But just a few years earlier, you know, even like the sets, I think I brought this up in my book, even the sets that, you know, Nirvana and bands like that would play on the first time on television all looked like 80s. They all had like silly purple lights and blinking signs and big-haired dancing chicks. And, you know, it looked wrong to see Kurt Cobain playing in front of a brick wall with a staircase and a French looking actress behind him dancing. It was silly. And then that changed, and within a couple of years, like, then everyone was on board and you could do anything for a little while. And that's when we broke in. It was a really small window there. And I think 2 years younger, 2 years earlier, couldn't have done it.
But it wasn't like you were just sitting behind the piano all the time, too. I mean, you were diving off of it and jumping. It was kind of Jerry Lee Lewis-esque a little bit. Added a lot to it.
Yeah, it's very
Warren
much
Savanish, too.
Yeah.
Warren Savanish. Yeah, it was like the modern version of that. I mean, you know, there were people at these clubs sometimes. We get up on the piano or near, or dive off the stage. People were moshing, and I mean, we were playing like ballads sometimes, and people would beat the shit out of each other. So you know, it's weird.
You know, it's funny, Ben. You mentioned you know, the sets being '80s for the Nirvanas and such. When David Bowie died, I just couldn't dig deep enough to find anything out about David Bowie or watch anything. And there he is on Dinah with Iggy Pop. And yeah. And all these, you know, and all these people on Tom Snyder. I don't know. For some reason, I really love looking back and seeing that stuff. And you find that the artist always, I mean, Bowie, he always comes through.
Sure.
Doesn't matter where he is. And Iggy, for that matter. But it
was jacked on speed, but he came through.
And John Lennon, John Lennon took over the Mike Douglas show for a week. And I was like, wow, John Lennon doing afternoon television in the 70s? How weird.
I know. Different times.
Yeah. But it's fun. I mean, that was one of the rare places you could get on TV and play music.
Right. Right.
So Ben Folds and the Violent Femmes are at Meadowbrook on Sunday. And then on Monday at the Blind Pig at 7 with the book A Dream About Lightning Bugs. And, Mark, you mentioned when we were talking before the show about the Shatner connection with our future guest.
Yeah, there's a list of, like, 10 songs that helped shape you, and one is the William Shatner. So I started going down that and didn't realize that you had known him for a long time, and then you ended up producing and playing on an album that William Shatner put out, which is just seems bizarre to us.
Yeah. I think it's a really good record, by the way. But yeah, he had worked on, guested on one song that I had done, a very obscure thing that I did by myself under the moniker Fear of Pop. And a few years later, you know, he called me up to ask me for advice on making records. We kept up, you know, after we'd worked together. And he's like, Benny, they want me to make an album. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, you should do it. And the thing is, they wanted to, like, kind of do silly stuff, you know, like, do a Madonna song and speak it, make it sound ridiculous, that kind of trick. And I said, you know, Bill, I think you're too good for that. I think, honestly, you need to tell your life story. Yeah. Tell your story and use great musicians. Everyone would be happy to collaborate with you. I know 10 off the top of my head that if I called right now, they would do it. So then he called me back the next day. He's like, you want to produce a record? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So I organized the whole thing, wrote all the music for it, and brought in the musicians who really appreciated William Shatner.
And you learned from him to use really big words.
Yeah. And to stop using small words, yeah. Four-letter words like cool.
Hey, Ben, when he called back and asked you if you want to produce, did you suddenly get nervous? Because it sounds like you're in deep at that point. I mean, that's a really different kind of project.
He can be intense. Can he be really intense about art?
He's very intense in general, yeah. He's full on.
Did he ever yell at you?
Nervous. I knew I could make. I the idea to make an album that has not been made before is exciting to me, and it's actually easier because you're not going off a script. He was nervous sometimes because I was so by the seat of my pants about my production. He never knew what was happening from day to day. We go 3 days in a row, and we just sit around. He's like, what are we doing? Why are you spending money and spending all of this time on nothing? You must work. I'm like, I don't know. I'm just waiting to see what happens. And then it would happen. So I think, you know, we both learned a lot.
Wow. I don't know why I'm telling Ben this, but there is a connection to a Shatner-related guest later in the show. We're going to talk to this guy who says he is the result of a Shatner one-night stand in 1956, and there's never been a DNA test, but he just legally changed his name to Shatner, and Shatner's been fighting. He won't even take a DNA test, and I don't know why I'm telling you that other than just to see what would happen.
I don't know. No one can be said about that. Everyone's like, I mean, you know, Bill's like 85 years old.
I know.
I
don't know if he's just kidding or not.
Well, that's the thing. And there's a lot of wisdom that you accrue by that. I mean, he's probably thinking, what good comes out of this at this point? You know, I don't know.
I have to be honest, I would take the DNA test because then you know. But I don't know. He's your friend,
but
so
like
I don't
want to. You're not an actor or someone may want to get something out of.
Yeah,
or
Drew.
Where you don't know the person, they've lived their whole life, they're well into their adulthood. I can understand from his point of view why he might do that.
Hey, people can steal stuff from me. I have a few things.
Yeah.
Just a few.
Yeah, just a few. I mean, no, we don't know how many we got out there. But, I mean, I don't, you know, I would take the test as well, but I also, I would, you know, Bill's my friend. I respect him. But he doesn't want
to. Ben, I got to ask you this question.
You don't want him to change his name to Shatner either. He fought that.
Who?
Not that Ben needs to know this. What? You don't have to comment on this.
Oh, the new guy? Or the other guy?
Yeah, the guy that Peter Shatner. It's just a weird story.
That's beyond. Yeah, he should. I'm sure I'll talk to Bill at some point.
Would you talk to Bill about this and get back to us?
I know better than you can't. You can't change. You can't keep someone from changing their name. So he's going to lose that one.
He did.
I wanted to ask you about live shows and something that happens at a lot of the live shows, and I'm interested to see how you answer this, how diplomatically you answer this. But when someone yells "Rock this bitch," do you like it? Is it a trope? Are you kind of want it to fade away?
That is a cue for me to freestyle a song, and it must be called "Rock This Bitch." And I don't think anyone could possibly not be a little bit filled with just a little bit of dread at the idea of having to create a song on the spot every single night. And they're unprepared. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got no clue. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Sometimes it's with symphony orchestras. And it does put a little bit of weight on the evening. I think, oh man, I just don't feel like that tonight. And someone will yell it. And I have to do it, but I'm always glad that I did. It's good to push your push those boundaries, push your creativity.
Do you ever pretend that you don't hear it?
Nah, because everyone can hear it.
Yeah, exactly.
This is not. I mean,
it's not one
I can
guy.
Ignore it sometimes. It depends. You know, if it's a situation where the show is going to be better if we continue with what we're doing, because sometimes there's some wisdom to the way the show is supposed to go. So, if someone were to say, "Rock this bitch," and I'm getting ready to go into something I know is the right thing at the right time, I don't pretend like I don't hear him. I just don't do it. They know I hear it, but don't do it. Then I do. Once the dam bursts and there's 40 people yelling, and it's like, okay.
Just get it over with.
Ben's with the Violent Femmes at Meadowbrook on Sunday, and then in Ann Arbor at the Blind Pig on Monday at 7. A Dream About Lightning Bugs is the name of the book. Ben, thanks so much for your time. Great to talk. Good luck with the book and the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me
on. We appreciate it.
Have a great day.
See ya.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Then the tour picks up with Cake down the road, one of my favorite bands.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, not here, of course. Violent Femmes are great, too, though.
They are. I'd like
Mister in the Sun.
Cakes and pies.
During show prep, you were playing Violent Femmes.
The Femmes,
completely gapped out on that song.
So good.
Yeah, they were. The Violent Femmes were really big right after I got out of college. Really big. Like, college radio just was in love with them, and then they just sort of went by the wayside. Now it seems like they're kind of getting their due the last 10 years.
When I was in high school, for whatever reason, they got big again for like 2 years. I don't know why. I don't know if radio started playing them again or what happened, but they're
kind of timeless, though. I think there's something unique about them. They're serving their own space. Yeah.
I think that hit got incorporated into a lot of movies. Right. And
maybe that's why. Was there a movie there?
Yeah, Ethan Hawke sings it in Reality Bites, doesn't he?
He does?
Doesn't he sing Blister in the Sun on stage?
Really?
I think.
Hawk. The other Hawk.
The Hawk!
The other Hawk. I'm going to look it up.
You remember when he's trying to win Winona, kind of, sort of, but not
vaguely.
And that's a good movie, but I watched it again. It's really fun.
So did this song complete the deal, or?
Yeah, he nailed her.
He's not a hawk.
It was such a trivial thing. It was the key to their relationship, or was it a relationship just being nailed?
It was also in my so-called life, that show.
Oh, was it? Show, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't say anything about.
Wait, didn't his dad die at the end of the movie, and he came back from the funeral and
Hawks?
He sort of softened up.
Hawks?
Hawk.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. By the way, there's a big anniversary in spoilers today.
Hey, am I nuts? Was that song not in the movie?
I don't know.
Mister in the Sun,
or was it one of the other ones like added up or?
Is there a Violent Femmes song?
There has to be an IMDb for that song.
This one's for you, lady.
I think it'd be in the soundtrack.
Look at that drummer, man.
Wait, isn't this the mean song he does? Did Sender sends her sprawling out of the club? Look at this scene.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
No, shut up, Hawk. No,
Hawk was cool back then. He was kind of hot.
You know what's funny? I think I like him better now.
Yeah.
I think he thought he was cool then.
He was cool then.
And he thought he was really hot. Yeah, and he probably was. So I was probably just jealous of him.
Why can't I get just one kiss? Why can't I get just one kiss?
Maybe he definitely loves being a musician. Because he does the Kinks in... Oh, man.
Recent
movie. We talked about it.
Who did we ask about him being a rock star?
Andy Dick, maybe?
Oh, was it? Yeah, I think you're right.
Oh, Andy Dick.
Should we call him?
Well, not right now, because we're talking to Peter Shatner coming up.
Who, by the way,
by the end of the show.
Peter Shatner has his own album coming out.
What? Well, no, the Shatner gene at work there.
Is it available?
Peter Shatner Dance Party.
Well, no.
Sounds fun.
What?
Can't see him hosting a dance party.
What a concept.
Why not?
Well, he's kind of heavy set. He just doesn't look like the kind of dance party guy.
It's in his... Oh, my gosh. It's on Spotify. You want to hear some of his dance party?
Not terribly, but I'll listen for 20 seconds.
Well, it's going to give me an idea. It has under 1,000 streams.
Oh, it's... Wow.
So confused.
It's funny. I like that Ben stood up for his buddy. Although,
I think you almost broke Ben Folds.
You put him on the spot about the most ridiculous thing.
I know. But seriously, why not take the DNA test?
Because you're afraid. Like, this is what Ben Folds really wanted the answer to be. He's afraid that he is his dad and then would owe him money.
Well, okay. Then you do owe him money, though. You birthed the kid and you did nothing for him. Although he was given up for adoption. It's very complicated. Yeah. Yeah, Ben, without knowing the story, I think erred on the side of caution.
He folded.
I'm not sure.
How dare you talk over Peter Shatner's dance party?
That is a stupid question by a rather stupid person.
Here's a great legal question.
Yes.
Okay. Peter Shatner. It was the result of a one-night stand between Bill Shatner and his mother, his birth mother, who was an actress. Let's see.
They were in some 50s Canadian TV thing together.
Yeah, in 1956. Uh-huh. She put him up for adoption, and he became Peter something else. And then she divorced that guy, married a guy named Sloan. So his name was Peter Sloan, and they raised him. And he considers Peter Sloan his father.
Well, then adopt him. He's been adopted twice, right?
Yes, he's been adopted twice, but his mother was always his mother. His adoptive mother was always his adoptive mother. His birth mother never had him.
That's right.
But she told him, look, you're probably William Shatner's son, pretty sure. And then later on she said, yeah, you're William Shatner's son. And then he met him in 1984, and William Shatner accepted him as his son.
Mm. What?
And 3 weeks later called him and said, you know what, I'm not going to say anything publicly about this. And then from then on, he was kind of iced out of the Shatner world.
Oh, my God.
But I think he did have, like, just a brief moment with his father.
I wish
Shatner.
I had a father.
I think they shared a hug.
Wow.
In the 84 meeting.
Is that why Shat never stops working, possibly?
Because he might have
good,
to.
Daddy?
He's afraid of this guy.
He might have to pony up to this dude.
Need some bank.
So
he claims that Shatner said to him that I'm your father.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
okay,
so,
but here's the question.
Does he need?
I don't think William Shatner owes him any money because he had adoptive parents. He was put up for adoption. Can you sue your birth parents for money if someone
No.
Well, but I don't think you can.
But maybe it's not a lawsuit. Maybe he doesn't want this guy going, hey, William, I got this dance party coming out. Can I have a few bucks to promote
Fuck you.
Well, I know.
Maybe
but
William's son.
I'm the father.
Maybe Shatman looked at him and was like, I don't want that guy to be my son. Because you know.
Did I do good, Daddy?
Shatner believes in nature over nurture. Or nurture over nature.
He's not as...
Shatner believes he was natured out of his zone.
You're right, yeah. That's funny.
My kid's a weasel.
You're just a dope.
So intense, William Shatner.
He really is. I heard he was going to be involved in the next Star Wars, but I can't imagine.
Why is he involved in
it? He's 87, I think. Can we look up Kathy Burt, the actress who would be the woman that Shatner nailed in 56? She's Kathy with a K. Kathy with a K. B-U-R-T.
Kathy Burt.
Exclamation point.
Burt.
Wait,
oh, there's a bird exclamation point. Oh, boy.
She's, if that's her, I mean, I don't know. There's
she hot? She's got to be hot.
She's kind of pretty.
Or she's not his mom.
I don't know, but this one is.
Well, that's not his mom.
I know, but now I'm stuck on this chick, Trudy.
You're getting
her?
Distracted.
Do you think that's her?
Yeah. As much as anybody.
There's, God, he looks like William
Shatner. He looks
Shatner,
like the
man.
Lady in the corner on the
he
top
does.
Left. Yeah.
Yeah. He, this guy looks. Oh, here you go, Drew.
Is that her?
No.
You are not.
No, no, no. He did, though. You've watched old Star Treks, I assume, right? You know, the original series.
Mm-hmm.
There was always some, like, foxy lady on there that he was totally into.
Oh, yeah.
And they always wrote it so that they were totally into him.
Nice.
Hey, he's in a picture with Bill Shatner there.
Oh, wow.
Probably when he admitted to him.
He's got a bunch of pictures with him.
Wait. Yeah, he kind of looks
like him.
Does
look like him. He's
a lot like him.
I think there's definitely a resemblance.
Hot Shatner.
Kathy Burt, she looks like a Shatner one-night stand to me. To say that. I mean, hot enough for a one-night stand, but I'm not sure. I mean, I can kind of see how he moved on. I mean, I don't mean to be a dick about it, but just saying. I mean, she is what she says she is.
Yeah.
She's pretty. I mean, she looks good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look, she's got her hair up all over on top of her head.
She's going for the Cynthia Lennon look.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So
glad
you
don't have to wear your hair that way these days. Oof.
I know. Yeah, Siller. The Siller look with blonde hair. we're heading into the weekend, and we were hoping to have Colin Blundstone on today from the Zombies or Rod Argent, maybe down the road. But Peter Shatner's coming up. And today's also the 50th anniversary of the Beatles crossing Abbey Road.
I know.
Oh, has anyone done it since?
No. No one has crossed. Not and no one has taken a picture of themselves crossing either. No one.
How silly.
I heard somebody talking about it the other day, and they're like, I was going to do that. I was at the spot, and I parked my car, and I ran down there, and a cop was like, keep moving.
Oh, really?
It's kind of busy.
Yeah.
So they obviously don't like people.
No.
Doing it.
Oh, people do it, though. I've been there. People do it. Like
did
crazy.
You do it? You did it?
I did. Yeah, I did.
Did you take your shoes
with,
off?
With three other people?
Did anyone in the group take
No,
your
I think
shoes
there were
off?
A lot of people crossing. Oh. It was no big deal.
That defeats the purpose that there's like 30 people crossing.
No, there weren't 30.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, then you could Photoshop them all out.
Is there a picture of this anywhere?
I don't think so.
Whoa, come on.
Don't believe that. I know. I'm serious. Do you think I would hide it? Why would I hide a picture like that?
Maybe. Yeah, I do kind of think you might. I would.
I agree.
Lane McDonald was the photographer, a Scottish guy. He climbed a stepladder, and actually when I looked at the pictures, like, oh, okay. He only took six pictures, though. There's only six. They chose one of six.
Very confident.
And EMI was angry because the album didn't say The Beatles on it, and it didn't say Abbey Road, but, you know.
By the way, what a nice picture that is. Look at that.
People kind of knew who they were. I think that was a big problem.
You don't have to smack everybody in the face with things, you know.
There's also three.
I think they get the gist.
There's also three decorators who were on break in the background behind the VW Bug.
Huh? Really?
And they've even been identified. And the VW Bug was a coincidence. People said it was one of the Paul is Dead cues because I think the license plate is 28 if.
Oh boy.
What does that mean?
Which was Paul was 27, so it was like he would turn 28 if he was alive.
Oh my God.
Cool.
You know what? The same people are doing the same thing these days, so it doesn't matter. 8-8?
Shut up, conspiracy theorists.
Oh, yeah, 8-8.
Yeah. Wow.
Why don't you take a picture? It'll last longer.
We never ever learn our lesson. It's the rule there.
Are there any reviews of the Easy Rest Motel in
sure
Southfield?
Easy because Rest sounds like a lovely place.
They arrested 70 traffickers there, so it's probably lovely now.
Easy Rest Motel? Yeah, there's plenty.
Oh, I bet there's some good ones.
I like that they spell it E-Z. That's pretty nice. Oh, man, it's 3.5. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Lots of good reviews.
So they just lost 70 sex traffickers. It's bound to be a nice place.
Most garbage motel I've ever been to in my life. The whole place is dirty. People outside drinking and smoking. A great place to be mugged.
Pay by the hour. Hookers and drugs.
Underage hookers.
I would think of one. Bed bugs. And they didn't want to give me my money back. Nasty, dirty place. Disrespectful, white, short, fat woman.
Why would you?
And that's racist. What?
It's in the slums, very dirty. Why would you? It's got bugs.
Why would you think otherwise?
It's, most people are upset about the bed bugs.
Yeah, I'd be. I'm.
Why
are
bed bugs
that?
Always end up in hotels? Are they attracted to hotels for some reason? It seems like every review of every hotel we ever read, there's bed bugs.
That's a great question.
They're attracted to hotels.
Jump
multi-family units.
Transient
bed bugs. I want a scientist to study that. Are bed bugs attracted to multi-family units?
Like tornadoes are attracted to trailer parks?
Yes.
Here's a great review. Stank and not clean. One star.
Stank.
Disgusting ass motel. Very awful customer service. And has bed bugs.
What? Why would you expect differently, though? It's the easy risk.
I don't know. I mean, there are those smaller hotels that are really clean and nice.
I think I'd sleep in my car.
Since you asked, Trudy, why don't we read some of the 5-star reviews?
Oh, okay.
Some people have lower expectations.
Great location and cheap. My dealer took me and put his BBC in me hard and rough. Before he left, he told me a white guy like me will get lots of love from what he gave me. He was right. 3 BBC thugs came to my room and unloaded in me.
What?
For getting nuts busted in you and doing drugs, this is the spot for white bottom guys to get blacked up bulls to pound
them. What?
Oh my God. 5 stars. Is that an appropriate 5-star review?
If that's what you're looking for, yeah. Sounded consensual.
Well, like I said, it could be a really nice hotel to some people.
I've never heard a review like that before.
The room was clean. I didn't have any problems.
Well, I want to know what his standard of cleanliness is, because last night I was watching this thing on ID Channel, and this story was so crazy. This girl is divorced. She's got 2 kids. She meets this guy. He's got 2 kids. He's got a stepkid, too. It's like, well, why does he have a stepkid? He's enough that he's got 2 kids. Anyway, he brings a stepkid along, and she's a nurse. She does fairly well.
Here's the story
of
a lovely lady.
He stays at home with all these kids, and then they have another kid.
Oh,
they have a
God.
Kid. It's like the ultimate blended family. Even a stepkid thrown in. I mean, a step-step kid.
Oh, my God.
Then
no more.
She gets pregnant again. I'm like, what? And she loses the baby, and it's really sad and all that. And they say, don't get pregnant again because you almost died, and you will probably die if you have another kid. She gets pregnant again.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And has a kid.
Oh, my God.
And the kid lives.
And she does.
So now, you know, with this load who watches the 7 kids from all his myriad of families, and she's supposed to work as a nurse, and she feels sick after the birth, so they're staying at her mother's apartment. I'm like, mother? With the 7 kids? What the? Are you kidding me? So then he informs her that, I've been working on this new place, and we're going to have this great new place to go to. Well, he takes the family to this trailer, this POS trailer that was the biggest trailer skank I could ever imagine. There was just crap, garbage everywhere. The sink was full of dirty dishes and scum. There was a dead animal in a cage. It was so
nice
gross.
Place.
And I'm picturing this woman who's sick from having her 7th kid that almost kills her walking and going, oh, God. And actually, she did. She died almost as soon as she got there because he had OD'd her. He filled up a water bottle and said, hey, let's say the kid's name is Brandon. Brandon made this Kool-Aid for you. You got to drink it and pretend you like it. And he had put like 50 Xanaxes in
there. Oh, my God.
She
really?
Died.
Brandon.
She died entering the trailer. She died. And it turned out that this asshole had a mistress, and he wanted the life insurance money, which is probably like $5.
And so is the mistress knocked up now? Because it seems like it's a theme.
No, the mistress was not knocked up.
And
but
he's
this
got
guy
7 kids.
He escaped, too.
Wow.
And they caught him in a camper. He likes trailers and campers, apparently. Very attracted to them. Oh, my God. What a load this guy was.
Jeez.
But I could not believe he actually thought that she was going to be psyched to be in this dumpy trailer. And it had 2 beds with mattresses with no sheets on them.
Oh, yeah, no, you don't have time
for shit all over the bedrooms. I mean, just, oh, my God, was it disgusting. God.
Was it worse than that Cops trailer?
Oh, Cops.
That last time?
What was in the Cops trailer?
Remember that they stole the guy's beer, so he called the 911 for the cops and the two...
Yeah, that huge rope
vacuums.
Coiled up on the...
Yeah, the rope. PVC furniture.
That was a house, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a trailer. Absolutely, it was a trailer.
That trailer was way nicer.
Was it better than the feces trailer from the Ice Storm HBO documentary on meth?
Yes.
Had all the dog feces?
No, it was not. It was not nicer. No.
Oh,
no. Actually, we could see it if I can figure out which one it is. But I got so many ID channel shows.
I was looking at, so the Easy Rest Motel has a Facebook page.
Oh, nice.
There's two reviews on there. Which there's nothing written about them, but there's a woman that works there every day. She checks in from work that says things like this one just says, workflow. And she says that she's at the Easy Rest Motel. And then, I made it, about to put in these 8 hours the next day. Getting my 8 hours in next day. Getting my money. There's the next one. Putting my 8 hours in, but finally, eventually, like sipping on my coffee, doing my thing, working, and then finally, where's the last one?
There's content finally.
All this funky ass and pussy is about to kill me today. Sorry. Shaking my motherfucking head. And she checked in one more time, and that was it. So I think she quit her job cleaning because of the funky ass. Pussy.
Monica?
That's
cool.
Oh, bummer.
Oh, I'd hang out with her.
Sounds mighty funky.
Can we get a hold of her? She has a Facebook, right?
Oh, maybe.
She's got
look on about. See if she's got a phone number. If she does.
She probably knew all that whoring was going on.
I was a maid one time, so I feel for her.
Really?
It was nasty.
All that funky ass get to
where
you?
Were you a maid?
Ramada Inn in Sandusky,
Inn?
Ohio.
Wow. Yeah. Should we check the reviews? See what kind of job? See what kind of standard Trudy set?
I don't think it's there anymore. But
what? They burned it to the ground.
On Milan Road, on 250.
Oh, yeah.
Were you being
on
trafficked?
On the Cedar Point. No.
You sure?
Okay. No, but my dad made me get a job, and I had mono that summer. And so I powered through mono, making like 15 beds a day.
Whoa.
A machine, man.
Damn.
Looks like it's still open.
It's still
Trudy.
There? Yeah. Wow.
Are you having any memories, Trudy, looking at the picture?
I am having a flashback. They probably have this. It has a restaurant called the Brown Derby.
I know where this is at.
Yeah, you've been past it.
Oh, yeah.
What are the reviews?
There's not many reviews. There's just one that's 3 stars on Yelp.
Oh, wow.
I was pleasantly surprised with this hotel.
Can we check the reviews for the Knights Inn in Grand Blanc? Because Mateen Cleaves is back on trial for raping that girl there in 2015. Remember, we called the Knights Inn because he had gotten the deluxe room. Mm-hmm. And we asked, what is the deluxe room? Because it was only $49.95, and I think the regular room was $39. And so it turned out it had, like, cable or something. Yeah. I mean, it was not deluxe in any way. And I was like, why is – if Mateen Cleaves is going to rape a girl, why is he taking – that's a really – well –
it's the only hotel in the area.
I don't know if he raped her, but it didn't sound good. The girl was yelling, help me, help me, help me. And he dragged her into the room. She ran out of the room nude.
Wasn't she passed out of the gas station beforehand, too?
And she said she woke up and she was in the room kissing him. She admitted she kissed him back, but she said she wanted to leave and she told him she had a boyfriend. And then she tried to escape and I think she was nude.
Yeah, she was totally nude, yeah.
Yelling for help.
Yep.
And the strange thing about this case is... The judge threw it out,
mm-hmm.
and she said she appealed. It's like bullshit, and they said, "Yeah, the judge abused her discretion," and they brought charges again. So it's now a 4-year-old case.
Yeah, I don't. Do you see him getting convicted?
I don't, but I got to tell you, when this came up, I thought, "Boy, this doesn't sound good." I don't.
No.
You know, these cases are really hard, any which way you cut it. There's alcohol involved.
So the jury makeup too, by the way.
No, I didn't.
10 women.
10 women?
Men, yeah.
Well, it's probably good
for her.
Her. Why would they have 10 women on a rape case? That seems dumb.
That's who showed up for jury duty.
Probably.
Can you imagine, though, you're being raped by a guy and you run out and say help and no one will help you?
Well, and also that the judge throws it out and says, people, no, it doesn't sound like a rape.
Doesn't sound like anyone wants to listen.
That, not only did she yell, help me, someone heard her and saw her.
Yeah, I remember yelling, help me. That she was actually witnessed in the middle of it.
This is Kangaroo Court.
And also, her employer had put on this golf outing. He was a celebrity golfer at the outing, so she was very, you know, she's very, not, I guess conflicted is the word. She felt very badly about saying anything about it. I mean, it just was one of those nightmare kind of occurrences.
I remember when this started. And
I think
this
you're
happened.
Entitled.
We got, there was certain people that were like, she has a boyfriend. Why would she go with her? Totally blaming her. And I was like, well, that's not really how this works. It doesn't matter if she had a boyfriend.
It's like, what was she expecting? She got in the car with him. It's like, well, I don't think you have an expectation to be
assaulted. When she's escaping from the room yelling, help me, I think it's upon the other person to say, I think we'll cut this short.
Well, they were acting. We'll just
maybe not pursue this any further.
One person in particular was acting like getting in the car was consent. What? I can ride with people in a car and not expect to be sexually assaulted.
So every time you get in an Uber, you should expect to be raped?
No, I mean, I think all of those things, the fact that she got in the car, she admitted she kissed him back, but those things are all pieces of the story. But it's also a piece of the story that she was running out of the room nude yelling for help, and someone saw her and heard her, and I think that that also is a piece of the story that means something.
Yeah.
So... we've got Peter Shatner coming up here pretty quick.
Do you have this number, Brandon? Or do you need
I don't.
But first, the dog days of summer are here, and that can only mean one thing. Zod Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is on fire with their summer clearance event. The all-new 2020 models are on their way. Not there yet, though. They got to make some room by getting rid of those 19s, and they've got some deals. Lease a new 19 Jeep Compass as low as $166 a month. How about a 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $248 a month? Or, you ask, the Ram trucks? You can lease a new 19 Ram 1500 Crew Cab Bighorn Edition as low as $149 a month. During Zot's summer clearance event, the longer you wait, the fewer low-priced rides you'll have to choose from. So don't delay. Surf their soon-to-be massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And I should also... oh, Dr. Roche Trudy.
Uh-huh.
And the Hall Financial Hotline is open, of course. We already opened it, though.
Okay. Well, Dr. Roche... using it again. Has Restylane and a free syringe of Restylane for $600. That takes away a lot of lines, a lot of creases on your face. Really makes you look very youthful. And there's a ton of amazing August specials at Dr. Roche. Like Diva Tight, you can get it in 3 minutes. Three treatments of Diva for $38.50, regular $4,500, plus free G-Spot for $1,200. That's a regular $1,200 enhancement. After Diva, and a free syringe of Restylane Plus. $500 off one area of Body Titan 360 Lipo. And just because it's starting to be fall, like in another month, doesn't mean since we have more clothes on, hey, you want your sweaters to look nice, don't you? So Summer Saline Breast Special, $3,500 plus a free syringe of Restylane. So whatever procedure it is, you can call and get a consultation from Dr. Roche, 248-338-1110, and there's a free syringe of Restylane in it for you.
Amen. 248-338-1110, Dr. Roche. And we have a boner line today.
We do.
He changed his name, Trudy.
The Goo Goo Dolls.
He changed his name.
There's a few Goo Goo songs I kind of like for some reason.
Should have been on the Lost in the 80s tour, right?
If you want, I can go back to Peter. I can go back to Peter Shatner's dance party.
Hello?
Is this Peter?
It's Peter. Hi.
Peter Shatner. Hey, it's Drew. And Mark and Trudy are here also. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Doing very well. We were just talking about you with Ben Folds, actually. You know who Ben Folds is?
Yes, of course.
He worked with your dad.
He worked with Dad.
Many have.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, we were talking about the story, which was kind of interesting. He was very noncommittal about it. But... congratulations again on getting your name changed, because people fought this to the bitter end. William Shatner did not want you to be Peter Shatner. That's true, is it not?
Yes, apparently it's true. I mean, oddly enough, the lawyer that basically defended him in the slander suit from Miami picked up the gauntlet without having a client. I mean, he basically came to the court and stated that he really wasn't representing William Shatner anymore.
What,
he's just representing himself. It was kind of weird.
You mean he felt so strongly, even though it has nothing to do with him personally, other than the fact that he represented right. William Shatner, that he must fight this without William Shatner being involved. Now, does anyone believe that?
It was under his moral authority, so to speak.
I think he ran out of billable hours.
Perhaps.
Who's he going to bill for it if William Shatner...
I have no idea.
That's really weird.
Peter laughs at a lot of stuff.
Maybe you can explain this. What's wrong with him taking a DNA test? And let me go back a second. Do you have any claim, because you were put up for adoption by your birth mother, and you were adopted by two parents, and then readopted by a second husband? Do you have a financial claim on William Shatner? It seems to me if you're given up for adoption, that's really not at issue, is it? Isn't it just about him being your father?
It's never been an issue. I mean, for anybody to think otherwise is silly. As a matter of fact, I've been in the financial business for 35 years, and I do a lot of estates, wills, and trusts. And I can assure you that if you want to keep somebody out of your will, all you have to do is say, so-and-so, I give a dollar, and that's the end of it. Hmm. So, no, there's no claim to his assets at all.
There's no child support because you were adopted. So I don't understand what is the harm in him taking a DNA test.
I can't even imagine. I could speculate that it's some kind of a pride issue. I really don't know. Initially, he was accepting of me when I met him on the set of T.J. Hooker in 1984. That lasted about a week. And then a week later, I got a call from his handlers apologizing. But, you know, we can't go public and so on and so forth. So if you've read the book or read some of the news stories,
in 1984, I supposed to have had a child out of wedlock might have been a bigger deal, but it was 1956. It was 28 years later. Who cares?
Nobody.
That's kind of how I feel.
Yeah. Honestly, I haven't a clue why he won't. It could be other issues. It could be his handlers are concerned that
it's his kid.
Somehow I'm going to affect his career. But, you know, look, if I was an axe murderer or somebody nefarious, I suppose you could make a case for not wanting to have anything to do with me. But, you know, I'm a pretty good guy. I managed to raise 6 children of my own, and I don't have any problems, really, with the law. So for life of me, I don't know what. Actually, I don't know whether you're aware of this, but one of the things that the attorney that was not representing Shatner brought up with the court as a friend of the court was some kind of a violation, which he mentioned, you know, in code. And I took a look on Google. I Googled it. It turned out I had let my registration expire once. So, you know, they were trying desperately to smear me. It was kind of weird.
I don't get it.
When you were young and you used to watch Star Trek, did you think, oh, man, that guy does something to me?
I'm connected to that guy.
He catalyzes me in some way. Did you get that feeling or sense?
No, frankly, I mean, I've been asked that a few times, obviously, but when I watched Star Trek, I probably had the same reaction that any 10-year-old would have to the show. I enjoyed the show, you know.
You were into Spock?
That was the extent of it. I thought that the show itself was great, the whole show, you know, all the characters. So, no, there was never any kind of a underlying attraction or some kind of a feeling that, you know, it was a connection.
Mm. What about when he was T.J. Hooker, though?
T.J. Hooker. Well, let me tell you something. When I met my father on the set of T.J. Hooker, I had only met my mother about 4 months before. So it was all very new to me, you know? And you can imagine what it was like to meet my mother for the first time. It was a very tearful, wonderful moment. No, because really, I was searching for my mother, not my father.
Yeah. Did you stay close to your mother, Peter?
I did. I did.
Okay.
I did for quite some time. But the point I'm making is, you know, the night that my mother was in my apartment, we were having a party, a cocktail party, and William Shatner just happened to be on at, what was it, 11 o'clock show that they used to play on WPIX in New York City. And she looked at him and basically said, you know, that's your father.
What?
Oh.
Yes. I was like, God. What? Well, come on. No way.
When did you revisit that with them, with her?
With whom?
With her. Did you follow up?
Well, immediately. Like, everybody in the room was stunned. Huh. And, of course, you know, so anyway, she started to explain the story, you know, about how when she came to the adoption agency, she kind of created a faux father, kind of a cacophony of
McNeil,
other people, the McNeil, you know, and McNeil was her soon to be husband, you know, while she was pregnant with me. But, so she said, it's just astonishing to me how much you look like him, how you act like him, that kind of thing.
When you met him on the set of T.J. Hooker, did you get to meet Heather too? Heather Locklear?
No, you know, darn it, Heather was not on the set that day. Adrian Cement was there. That was okay, I guess.
Did you feel a connection to William Shatner when you met him at the on the set of T.J. Hooker?
Oh yeah, I mean, after they wrapped the shoot, I came around the back and met him by his trailer, and he didn't know I was going to show up. He had heard of me from his manager months before, and they were going to set up a meeting, but then they backed away. Anyway, so I said, you know, Mr. Shatner, I'm Peter Sloan, and I need to talk with you. And he said, you're the one, in his famous Shatner-esque, you know, pointing of the finger. And I said, please, I just need to talk with you for a few minutes. So he brought me into his trailer, and we spent 2 hours together, and I explained, you know, why I was there. And in the process of that, he said, you know, what is it you want, Peter? What do you want? I said, I just want to hold my father in my arms. And I started to cry, which sounds a little wimpy and awkward. He lifted me up and picked me up in his arms, and, you know, we both kind of cried.
Is that when you asked him? Is that when you asked him for a walk-on role on T.J. Hooker with just like one or two lines?
No, I avoided that like the plague, you know, because he said, you want me to introduce you? I swear to God, he said, do you want me to introduce you to the casting directors? I said, absolutely not.
That was a smart move.
I said, I'm here for one reason only.
To hug my dad.
And that's to introduce myself, give you a hug, yeah.
Well,
that
makes me wonder if he was hoping that maybe you'd take a little, you know, a little walk-on job in replacement for...
Being your dad.
Because he certainly did not take any role on as your father, did he?
Oh, no, not at all. No, I mean, I had...
If you called him right now...
I had a great father. Mm. If I called him now?
Yeah, if you called him right now...
Well, first of all, I don't have his phone number, number one. Second of all, he probably would not pick up the phone. I mean, he knows how to get in touch with me. You got in touch with me today. It's not that difficult.
Well, this is a ridiculous question, but do you think he thinks he is your birth father?
I think he does, yeah.
Well, I think
there's no question that he does. First of all, let me just explain one thing. Because I could not get him to take a DNA test. I took all three DNA tests.
Yeah, why would you not take a DNA? If he was so sure he wasn't...
But I did.
You'd think he would take it just to prove that he was not the father. You are not
right,
the father.
Here's the funny thing.
Go on, Maury.
A great Maury episode.
And he'd be doing a touchdown.
I took all three tests, and all three tests revealed that I'm part Ashkenazi Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And William Shatner is an Ashkenazi Jew.
Oh, well, there... That's pretty close.
That's the best I can do.
Just the best I can come up with. How about you just look at you? I mean, you look like he does.
Yeah.
I mean, especially during the T.J. Hooker years.
There is a resemblance.
Yeah.
That's true.
Okay.
Is he upset because you're working on a one-man show about your life and he's afraid he might...
Why would he be upset? He's one of the most successful, iconic people on the planet.
What if he thinks you're going to hurt the brand?
Yeah. And you're going to ask him to help promote it.
How could I possibly hurt his brand? One of the things the judge...
Shatner
asked me at the end, he said, because they were trying to fight and say that somehow I was going to steal something away from him, you know, his image, whatever it was. And I said, Your Honor, nobody would ever mistake Peter Shatner for William Shatner. And he nodded his head, and I think that made a lot of sense.
But maybe it's not.
Nobody thinks I'm William Shatner. You know, if you want William Shatner, go get William Shatner.
Maybe it's not about the money that, you know, people...
He's being a weasel.
Yeah, he maybe just doesn't want to, you know, he's afraid you're going to ask for stuff.
Let's not reduce this to name calling. You know, he still might put me in as well.
Oh.
I'm kidding.
Boy, wouldn't that be a great twist?
In the end?
Yeah, the 20 page apology and all the money. How many kids does William Shatner have that he says are his?
He has three daughters.
Have you spoken to them? They're your half sisters.
No, it's between me and him. I've always felt that would not be my place to try to.
But they're your sisters.
Contact them. I understand. I get it. You know, maybe when he passes away, I'll contact them. Possibly. I'm not sure to what end.
To fight the will.
I'm sorry?
To fight the will.
I assure you I will be mentioned in the will. I assure you that I will. What it'll say is, and to Peter Sloan Shatner, whoever, I leave a dollar.
Oof, really?
I guarantee you.
Wow, well, that's a sick burn, that dollar.
What I don't understand is you want to meet your father. You had this emotional, you both had tears. He picked you up off the ground. You had this emotional hug. And it was all about him being your father, not about anything else.
Right.
And I believe you when you say that. So what about your half-sisters? They are your half-sisters. Why are you showing
I can't imagine why they wouldn't want to contact me after all this time, except to say that their father probably has a tremendous emotional hold on them, you know, like any father.
Oh, okay. So you just think it would blow up.
It's like a kind of a sense of betrayal, you know? So I can understand that.
I really can. I think it's crap. I mean, they're adults.
Well, it may be crap, but it probably is the case.
Yeah. Okay.
You know? The funny thing, you know, you mentioned the emotional connection. I have to say this. When my daughter Anne wanted us to go to the Comic-Con to meet him in 2011 in Orlando, she met him and she started crying.
Yeah. Wait, did he know his granddaughter was crying?
He did, because he was hugging her when it happened, and she whispered in his ear, "I'm your granddaughter." There's a picture.
There's a picture
of this on the internet of him with my daughter, and the look on his face is definitely emotional.
Oh my God, is that weird?
The emotion you're thinking, but
when you said granddaughter, I was thinking of a little kid.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
She was 14 years old.
Oh, she's 14.
Really?
There?
Wow.
Wow, she looks older.
Yeah. Which picture are you looking at?
One on the internet with.
Okay, you see the one that where he's holding her, hugging her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, you're not talking about the one with me in it, are you?
Yeah, you're in it.
Yeah.
No. That's another picture. Dig around, you'll find
it. Wait, how are you in that picture? What's that all about?
Oh, that was a dopey. You know, in order to meet him, you had to buy this special ticket for $500. It was outrageous.
What? You paid for
that
picture?
And then you had a picture. Absolutely.
He should at least reimburse you in the will for that photo.
No, it's okay. It's fine. The publicity I got from that picture alone is priceless, believe me when I say it.
Do you own the rights to that photo?
Actually, it was published by the Sarasota Herald Tribune. Mm. And all of a sudden, some lawyer called from Los Angeles and said, "How dare you post that picture? You don't own that picture." I said, "You're crazy. I do own it. I paid for it." Hmm. Anyway, he went on and on and, you know, cease and desist and all this other nonsense. And I told him, I said, "You tell my father that I'll come out to L.A. I'll take a DNA test. I'll fly out there at my own expense." And then he got back to me and he said, "You know, there's a conga line of people who think that they're related to him, blah, blah, blah. He's an 83-year-old man. Leave him alone." Anyway.
A conga line of people? I don't think so.
I don't know.
Yes, it's quoted in my book. It's in my book.
What? The book? What's the book? Plug the book.
Oh, yeah. The book's been published since 2016. It's called The Search, How I Met My Father, William Shatner.
I checked for the views, Mark.
And it's by Peter Shatner.
It's on Amazon.
Now, tell us. It's on Amazon. Tell us about how you segued from that book to Peter Shatner's dance party.
Yeah, what up?
That was a total quirk. And I had a couple of guys that I knew were, one was a rocker, the other's a rapper. We started talking and we developed this crazy idea to do a dance party album, you know, like EDM or club music. So we put it together over the course of the last 6 months and it's almost ready to be released. Three of the songs are out there. I don't know if you listened to any of them.
Yeah, no, we
played a little bit.
We were listening to "Everyone Happy." That was a pretty cool one.
Yeah, my daughter likes that. They're kind of upbeat songs.
Is that the one that was in the picture? That daughter?
Anne? Yes, that's the one. But I have two younger daughters. I have Rebecca and Anne. Rebecca's 18 and Anne's 22.
Should market that to Star Trek clubs, like fan clubs.
There you go.
I think it proves that you have an entertainment gene, so that's more convincing.
Well, truth be told, before I knew who my parents were, I did not know my parents were actor, actress, or whatever. I, of course, I was adopted. I was acting by the age of six. I was doing Shakespeare and things like that. So.
Yeah, you didn't even
Bill Shatner did Shakespeare.
Yeah. Have you ever put on a Star Trek uniform?
I have not done that.
How about a cop uniform, like T.J. Hooker?
Nope. No copy in
form. Why not?
I'm sorry, guys. I'd have to get paid.
Yeah, I want to see you hanging onto a car in a cop uniform.
Yeah. That I would do.
Oh,
I would
let's do
that.
Yeah, he was great at that.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Peter, it's a wild story. We followed it. We've been on this before, yeah. But this is the latest is that you're now officially Peter Shatner, in spite of some complaints by a lawyer who apparently didn't like this.
Gave up the fight.
Even though he has nothing to do with William Shatner, allegedly, which I doubt. But anyway,
yeah,
thanks.
It's funny. When I left the courtroom, as I walked out, he was standing in front of the exit, so I couldn't leave.
Oh,
and he goes, "Hi, I'm so and so," and I said, "Hi, I'm Peter Shatner."
Ooh, burn!
Another sick burn.
Ooh,
that was kind of fun. It was kind of fun.
Well, good luck with the dance party, the one man show, and congratulations on being Peter Shatner.
All right, man. Nice to talk with you.
Nice
guys,
talking
okay?
to you. We'll call again sometime.
We appreciate it.
Live long and prosper.
All right.
Bye.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Take care. Bye, bye.
Goo Goos are all right. I kind of like the Goo Goos. I don't know why.
Jangly guitar.
Yeah, Eagles.
I still remember they came into the old Riff building when they were just starting out in the early 90s. They were super nice.
Yeah.
This was not supposed to be the hit off this album either.
Oh.
Nope. But it was. Something about that Iris song is—it's really not a bad little pop song, but it's so intense, man.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard Iris in a while.
Play Iris, Brandon.
I'll play it, so we can end
It's so intense.
So we can end that song.
What?
All I think about with this song is Nick Cage.
Well, Nick Cage.
Yeah. This whole song is about that movie City of Angels, where he plays an angel that.
Why do you
gives
know
up
that?
Being an angel to be with Meg Ryan.
Wait, Nick Cage was connected to Meg Ryan in a movie?
I cannot picture those two together.
No, I don't know the movie. I'm not doubting you at all.
In what world would anyone believe Nick Cage as an angel?
It's high praise.
Yeah. City of Angels in 98.
Can't you hear the yearning in his voice, man?
Oh, yeah, the
and Nick Cage is his muse.
And the weird-looking lead singer of this band wrote the song in like 5 minutes after he watched the movie.
Sounds like it.
That's pretty good. You can write a song like that in 5 minutes.
John Resnick or whatever?
Yeah, Johnny Resnick.
Right.
Johnny Resnick.
He always looked really
Trent's
odd
brother.
Who's?
Trent.
Oh, Trent Reznor?
Trent Reznor.
He's kind of like, he has sort of a girlish feature.
He does, yeah.
I think he loves his hair.
He messes his hair up.
He does love his hair. there's a couple of pictures of him where it looks like age has not been kind.
This band threw me off because their very first song was that Long Way Down, which was a little faster tempo. It was a little more rocky.
Yeah, they were supposed to be a rock band.
And then
became
all their songs
a pop band.
Afterwards were just a bunch of, I don't know.
Garbage?
Just chick songs. No offense, Trudy. But like, just soft.
No offense, Trudy.
And they're intense, man.
I want to wake up where you are.
I did not like this song, so.
Oh,
don't worry.
Crank it in. Sorry, Trudy. So why
don't you slide? Okay.
Slide the volume down all the way.
Elevator music.
That goo-goo
slide the pop down. By the way, Mark.
Never liked them. Huh?
I wanted to correct Peter because I know how difficult it was to reach him. So.
Thank you. I'm glad someone heard that.
It's not as easy as you.
I know. He really just missed how easy it is to get a hold of him.
Wait.
I had to call like 8 numbers.
So how did Shatman pick him up?
Thank you, Brandon.
When he's like a foot taller than.
He was wearing lifts.
Wait.
Shat's, it's funny, what that last picture
the emotion of the moment, Trudy, gave him the strength.
Can you believe he paid $500 to get a picture of his father?
Wow.
But look at the payoff of it. It's kind of genius.
I know, it was
pretty smart. He's really smart about it. I actually feel bad for him.
I'm sorry, I cannot understand what Shatner has to lose by taking a DNA test. If nothing else, it says, see you asshole, you're not my kid.
I hope Peter Shatner didn't see the story about Don Nelson and his one-night stand.
Oh. Yeah.
That sucks. It's a roll of dice.
She was 40 or something, and she met him, and they live next door to each other now.
She works for him,
and they're great friends. And
William Shatner won't even talk to this guy.
Who the hell is Don Nelson?
Don Nelson is cool as
coach,
shit.
He's the winningest Celtics. Coach in the NBA history.
Oh, okay. No.
And he turned into a huge pothead.
Now.
Wonder.
Oh, I know that guy. I remember you guys talking
big
about
partier.
Him.
Big
okay. partier. Best friends with Willie Nelson, who
right.
is in trouble right now. Did you see that?
He's having breathing problems.
He's having breathing problems. Oh. He's postponing some shows.
I thought you meant he's in legal trouble.
Oh, no, yeah, Willie, that's not trouble
he needs
for Willie.
To smoke more weed.
Willie's then. Lasted a long, long time, and I hope he lasts a lot longer. He is one cool cat, man. I love his music, too. The Weekend Best Of brought to you by Scott Kunith tomorrow. And Scott Kunith is the rising star of Coldwell Banker Weir Manual. Seems like they're probably about to name their new rising star. Mm. And he's been rising, too. He's gotten a lot of calls from people from the show. Very happy. Worked with Hall Financial, too, which was a coincidence. He wasn't pushing Hall Financial, but he had three first-time buyers, I believe it was. And Hall was great in taking these people through the process, which the first time can be a little overwhelming. That's why you need somebody like Scott Kunith to help you along, and he would love to talk to you if you want to talk about finding a house, your first home, or maybe you want to sell your first home, or you want help in finding a new one. If you want to know what your home is worth, any of those things, 248-797-7746. Or maybe you want to refer someone to Scott Kunith. That's fine, too. That has happened. Also, 248-797-7746. Or email Scott at skunith, S-K-U-N-N-A-T-H, at cbwm.com. And he knows drops.
Get it done.
He will talk in drops with you. Yes, that's what Scott Kunith does, because he's that kind of guy. And Scott would also be delighted to hear us tell you about Hall Financial, because they've been a big help to him and his clients. Lower payments, better options, more personal attention with Hall Financial, the team to go to if you're looking to purchase a home or refinance. Go to drewandmike.hallfg.com, call 248-308-5000, or click the link on our website, Drew and Mike Show. Fill out the online form, and they'll get back to you fast. They save people money on refis. They do it over and over and over. Or maybe you're a first-time buyer, or your dream home, whatever it might be, Hall Financial would love to help you. They've got over 700 five-star reviews because they always put you first. And they sponsor the Hall Financial Hotline in the Deals in the D.com studio. So they can't be all bad, can they? And the boner line, is this what's happening on the boner line today? Am I still taking a pounding, Brandon?
You know what? A lot of this boner line has to do with some of the bracket stuff they want to... You know, talk about
the
music bracket. I didn't put as much negative stuff, even though, don't get me wrong, there is a ton of it. So,
what are people bitching about? I'm just curious.
Everything.
Let me guess: the Beatles, the Bachelor.
You know, there surprisingly wasn't any Bachelor stuff in the latest crop.
Well, the show's been over for 2 weeks.
I mean, anything.
Jesus.
But here, you want to roll it?
Yeah. Sure.
Drew, Mark, Brandon, Trudy, Zeus.
Hello.
I wonder how upset Josh Teeves is that he was not picked first on the borderline.
If you ain't first, you're last. That phrase is trademark, not to use the position of Ricky Bobby.
Hey, I love how Maz is taking a vacation when he's out of work. The only guy I've ever heard doing that.
You butt out.
Fuck off saying this economy is so goddamn great. If it's so fucking great, then most people I know would not be working 2 to 3 jobs just to fucking get by. About fucking time that this country stopped measuring the progress of this country by Wall Street. Maybe take a look at Main Street.
You know, much like the economical problems that I have had as an adult, my father had the same problems. I guess I inherited them from him.
Hey, Brandon. Nice fart at 3620 on August 5th.
Thank you.
Making a statement on the walk of shame deal you talked about the other day.
Yeah.
For a guy, I recall correctly, would be the stride of pride.
Up, down, up, down. In, out, in, out, 3 times.
I can handle the quesadilla, because it's a joke. But fucking Chipotle? Really? It's Chipotle. And then you followed up with Kings of Leone. Fucking Kings of Leon, Drew. What
are you I did not say Kings of Leone.
It's
That's
Chipotle,
what it is from now on.
Not Chipotle.
Who cares?
Hey, guys, it's calling about David Spade's show. I've been looking forward to seeing it. I haven't caught it yet. I heard that Kaley Cuoco was on it, and then I listened to the show, and Drew announced that Kelly Cuoco was on, and that's another one of my favorite actresses, so good to hear that he's got a variety of guests on the show.
What's the point of sarcasm?
I don't think that Drew realizes how much he brings up the fucking Beatles, all right? You need, like, a sounder, like you guys used to do in band, like the dinger. Maybe we can curb this a little bit, you know what I mean, to calm the masses.
I don't want to hear your whining.
Hey, Mark, I was just listening to the episode where you asked how to make nachos without a microwave.
Oh, yeah.
It's called an oven, dude.
Oh, God, who has time
for that? It became a common household appliance in, like, the 1920s.
Oh, accident!
20s!
Tigers!
Hey, Drew, I think I need to stage a health intervention with you. You have the worst diet possibly ever. You went to Dunkin' Donuts twice, and then you got a chocolate shake? What the hell, man? You're digging your grave with a fork and a spoon.
They had dinner. The food didn't matter.
Yeah, this one's for Brand Don. You've changed my mind about millennials. I used to hate them. Now I love them, but I still hate masks.
Damn it.
To everyone who calls in to complain about the show, how about you submit a 5-minute podcast of your own so we can critique that and just see how much of a genius you are.
Hey, after all the complaint on the boner line a couple days ago, you know what? If you don't like the Drew and Mike show, then you can get out.
Good, then get the hell out of my life. Who needs you? Beat it. Leave me alone.
Hey, guys, I just wanted to call and say thank you so much for the show. I know a lot of people have been coming down hard on everybody lately, so I just thought I'd send some positivity your way.
You are so generous. Thank you.
I just have an idea for brackets. Instead of doing classic rock, you should do brackets on your drops. I think that would be so awesome with your listeners.
I agree.
My theory is that when you're in middle school, those are the years when you fall in love with music at that time. Mm-hmm. That is what you always remember. That's what you always go back to. These kids nowadays, these middle schoolers, I don't know, I've got a couple myself, and all they want to do is watch videos of people doing stuff. They don't listen to music. They don't care. They can listen to any song they want without paying a cent for it, and they don't care. All they want to do is watch videos of people doing stuff. What kind of memories are they going
to
have?
If there's any children in the room, please close your ears.
Great. Hey, Drew, I'm calling to pile on. I know you're pretty sensitive, but I'm going to defend the hair bands out there. You have such lyrical genius as Whitesnake, Slide It In, or Extreme, More Than Words, where you need to stop talking and start fucking, because I'm either rocking or fucking. Because otherwise, what do you do instead? You have a bunch of Brandons running around telling you about their feelings and crying.
Oh, cheap shot.
I think you need to lift up the hair bands.
I got a better idea. No fucking way.
Okay, you guys are blowing my mind with this music rock list. You put fucking Slipknot in there? They're not classic rock. Also, Nine Inch Nails. Nine Inch Nails is not classic rock.
Oh, what are you going to do, cry now?
Classic rock list has got me yelling at my radio. Black Keys are not classic rock. They're like rip-off classic rock.
Oh, what, you going to cry? No, go ahead, cry. Let me see you cry.
I'm not sure if you realize this or not, but you're letting a guy whose favorite band is Coldplay make a rock bracket.
Yep, too bad.
Come on.
You know how I know you're gay?
Joe Walsh, shitheads. He put him on the bracket.
We love you, Joe.
We had to waste a week talking about somebody else's rock bracket. Now we got to do it all over again. Come on. What's next?
Yeah, we got to do it right.
Mount Rushmore.
Jeez, why don't you go cry about it?
Hey, how about two drunk piano players? Elton John and Billy Joel.
Billy and the Jets.
Hey guys, I'm sorry to bum you out, but Velvet Underground definitely needs to be in this bracket. At the very least, Lou Reed, and I wouldn't put him in solo, so I think you're better off with Velvet Underground. And another one you missed, Mark, you may not like this, but it'll make Drew pretty rock. Warren Zevon.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's not listening.
So. Okay, bye!
He'll never know.
Bye. So, it is worth noting that when we were compiling a bunch of different bands, that it was not classic rock at first. It was what our listeners would like.
It's just rock.
Oh, it's just what our listeners would like?
Well, we want to find out what the favorite ones are. But it's really rock more than anything.
Yeah. I don't know. I just felt that if we were going to put out a bunch of rock songs, that if you leave anything that's been done in the last 25 years completely out, that, you know, what's the point of that?
Well, not only that, but, you know, the Beatles don't get played on classic rock radio anymore.
No. Somebody once told me, they're not classic rock. They're oldies.
Yeah, so.
They're not oldies.
No, they
got to
be.
I don't know. This bracket is, well, music is so damn subjective that it's just like.
I think we're going to do it, I can already hear people rolling their eyes, but do it more like soccer style where we group them together and then make a bracket out of it. So then we don't have to cut anyone down. So if we take, you know, 88, groups of four, 22 winners, and then 10 runner-ups, then we have 32.
Well, you have to do that because there's no way you can cut enough out.
Plus, I want to see who chooses other bands over, you know, some of the more popular bands. Like if Zeppelin's up against, I don't know, Journey.
I think we're going to have
to. It's going to be like 2% that chooses Journey. You think so? Trolls, really?
I have a feeling. I have
what are you talking about?
The Beatles are going to get blown out in the opening round.
Trolls don't show up on Twitter. What are you talking about?
The Beatles are going to lose to like Jay Giles.
Oh, they're not on the list. You got to add them now too.
Oh yeah, you do.
Gary added more bands than he took away.
I know.
Which was kind of predicted that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Because he just likes Gary. He likes me. He loves music.
It's if it's just music, then we have to reinstate Prince because I heard that decision being made.
I know. And the Beastie Boys. Because we took them out. Right. So I don't
Prince.
Know. It's a total nightmare.
It's an outrageous list.
Hey, how would you like to be this guy? Check out this guy, Drew. It was in the paper today. The big picture of this guy. Read the headline.
Grand Rapids police body peeper caught on video hidden in public bathroom. He's looking at his own camera?
Yes, and they have a picture of him sitting on the shitter looking at the camera he installed. So now everybody's looking for that guy, you know, knowing that he installed a camera in the lady's toilet.
He reminds me of R. Kelly when he's sitting in the spot trying to see if he's in the right place to pee in that girl's mouth.
Same thing.
Can I put a camera in the lady toilet?
Look how big that picture is of that guy sitting on the toilet.
Yeah, that's pretty identifiable.
Why do they have a picture of him looking at his camera?
Well, I think
sitting on the toilet. Sitting on the toilet. Sitting on the toilet.
I think it's because they found the camera, Trudy, and it must be recording onto the camera.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, I see.
Yeah. In other words, he's not looking at it remotely. He's going to go back and get it.
Oh, what a...
what a dope.
I'm planning on someone getting it first.
Didn't he look like a total asshole there?
Yes.
Stephen Ross.
Yeah, great guy. Love him.
You know, this whole boycott business... you know, and I have two ways of looking at this. One is that if you're going to defeat Trump, boycotting any of his supporters,
think that's going to do it?
No, I don't.
I mean, boycotts traditionally they work.
Well, they can work, but there's been so many. I mean, we've tried to cancel. I say we loosely. I don't really like canceling people, but. I mean, people have tried to cancel certain things. The thing that I feel bad about is it SoulCycle?
Yeah, and Equinox.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they probably have a lot of nice people working for them.
Exactly.
Who are employed. And by boycotting those two companies, is Stephen Ross, didn't he give $100 million to the University of Michigan?
I think he gave $250.
Okay.
Like $125 to the athletic department and one to the business schools named after him.
Something tells me he'll survive this very nicely.
Oh, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
I keep seeing, though, are people like, I'm turning in my membership to Equinox, and I'm joining the YMCA. And I'm like,
I'm not even sure I believe them, to be honest.
If you're the kind of person that goes to Equinox because you like what it is, are you really going to be satisfied somewhere else?
Okay, here's the other thing.
If you like the product, I don't know.
One of these companies is very LGBT-friendly, or they... Do they say this in their literature or something?
Well, they celebrated Pride Month.
Okay. Well, a lot of people do that. Mm-hmm. But a number of people are like, I thought this company was all about blank, and Stephen Ross is having a Trump fundraiser in his house.
It's a company. It's all about making money.
Do you really? So you will buy products and things because of what the company stands for? Are you talking about their advertising that they pay an agency to come up with to lure you in?
That's when the next thing, then that person better sit down and research every company they're
buying stuff
from.
You've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
And by the way, there are a lot of companies that you're probably presently doing business with who have someone at the top giving money to Republicans and to Donald Trump.
Or worse.
Sorry.
Or much worse.
I don't know. What would be worse than that?
Well, I mean,
to these people.
I don't know. I mean, molestation or creepy other stuff going on.
Well, could be. I'd say giving to Trump would be more probably a larger group.
What I always like about this when this happens is like with Gillette, and they've had that, and other companies jump in to attack and say, hey, come to us instead. Because that's happened with Crunch Gyms. And they tweeted out, hey, at Crunch, we have spin karaoke hosted by a drag queen.
Yeah, well, I bet you could find somebody who's putting money into that.
They were just
and SoulCycle.
True, they were just acquired by a private equity firm. So I'm telling you, there is.
I also saw Michael Moore tweet, that's it. I've canceled my SoulCycle membership.
that's just kind of funny.
Michael Moore is on a bike there.
Well, is that a joke?
It sounds like a joke.
I mean, yeah.
Michael Moore can be very funny. I really am not one of these people that hates Michael Moore. I mean, I certainly don't always agree with him, which is what, by the way,
okay.
Ross said at the end. He said, I've known Donald Trump for 40 years. I agree with him on some things, and I disagree with him on some things. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with that. He's the president. He is running for there are two parties, and he's ahead of one of them. The day you can't donate to a political candidate who is that mainstream, I mean, it seems a bit much to me to demand and insist that all these people, you know, leave behind these two companies because someone's having a fundraiser for the president. And I understand people hate the president. If you feel that strongly, are all these people really going to vote who are so angry? Will they all really vote?
No, it depends who the other option is.
No, really? I mean, when the election, see, I would, at this point, I would feel that every single registered Democrat in the country would vote in November of 2019.
There's other things to do that.
2020.
No, after all, I got to get my workout in at SoulCycle.
All this screaming, I just really wonder, are all these people really going to even vote? Because they obviously didn't all vote last time.
No, that's the problem. You got to get your base. You got to energize those people to go out and vote. And who the hell wanted to go vote for Hillary Clinton? I'm serious.
I just would think they would vote against Trump.
Well, that might be the motivation
now. I'm Hillary Clinton, and I do not approve that message.
Well, it was certainly a motivation then. I mean, Trump by Election Day was an awful person.
Yeah, but
it was an awful lot of stuff.
Everybody thought the other side would win, so why not go work out at Equinox instead?
Well, anyway, Stephen Ross. Will Michigan give the money back?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
And take his name off the business school.
Sure,
sounds
they
like
will.
It.
Well, they didn't take what's his name off the Taubman.
Alfred Taubman. No, I know.
Schools generally don't do that. You know, in fact, I saw Harvard.
They didn't take the name off when Bernstein wanted to put his name on something. Remember that? There was one name of a minority name on one of the buildings there. And wasn't it Mark Bernstein or somebody donated a bunch of money? And then they found out that they would have to replace the person of color name that was on there.
Oh, okay.
Does this ring a bell at all?
Yeah. Okay. It was last year, wasn't it? Or maybe a year
couple
and a half
years
ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he just said, oh, you know, I don't want my name in a building.
Harvard.
Still in a meeting.
Harvard has received many, many millions from Jeffrey Epstein. And what they said was, we're not taking any more money from Jeffrey Epstein.
Really?
They're not returning the money.
Starting
now.
Starting now.
Exactly. I thought that was very funny.
Why would they?
Were they being funny? Maybe they were being funny.
You know what else? The other people is the family. Is it the Packer family that owns the company that made all the OxyContin or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
And people are now starting to, no, we don't want your money anymore, but we're not returning any of it.
Fred Gutenberg had a tweet along with Billy Eichner. By the way, I never knew who Billy Eichner was until he started showing up in all these strings of political tweets.
Oh, really?
Is he really funny? I don't know.
He's got a funny
bit. Street's funny. It has its moments.
Is he? Okay. I saw him on The Bachelor, and he was not funny.
He's great on Parks and Rec.
Yeah, he was good in that. He's in The Lion King.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's where
you guys are fans?
I'm not. And the reason I'm not is because of all this crap I see on Twitter. That's exactly.
Yeah, I find him really annoying on Twitter.
I can ignore that. I think he's great on, you know.
I didn't know
Billy on the Street's good.
I didn't know he was a comedian. I just saw him on one television show. I did not think he was funny at all. But that's the only exposure I've really had to him. I'm just not I don't watch a ton of stand up, to be honest.
I don't think he's a stand. Is he a stand up?
Oh, I thought he was.
He might be.
He said he was a comedian on The Bachelor.
He's a comedic actor.
Well, so he.
Well, his stand-up is actually running after people.
He came to prominence because he did a game show, and he would run up to people, and he's so flamboyantly and loud, would ask them questions, and he would do it with other celebrities.
Okay,
yeah, it's
well, I'm not a fan, but I don't really know who he is that much, other than what tiny exposure about him. Anyway, he canceled his membership. Christy Teigen canceled her membership.
Oh,
and Fred Gutenberg.
Who? Is that Steve's dad?
Is a Parkland parent. His daughter was murdered at Parkland. She danced at Dolphin halftime shows. This ends our relationship, Stephen Ross.
Does Steve have a relationship with him?
I don't know. Other than I guess he did.
Pant? Okay. Well,
you know, this is so stupid. I can't even remember back this far. The Parkland shooting, was Trump blamed for that the way he was for these? Because I didn't remember Trump being blamed for
it. Did Nicholas Cruz have a manifesto?
No. It wasn't white supremacy that drove him either.
Yeah.
It's just your garden variety crackpot.
Right. I know this sounds insane, but I come from the school that you blame the person that pulls the trigger. But I didn't remember. I remember afterwards a lot of Republicans were creamed because they stood up for your right to own a gun. And I don't know.
Oh, gross.
But anyway, Fred Gutenberg's relationship is over with Stephen Ross.
I don't even know who the hell he is.
And I guess in Texas, a lot of people are being, I don't know if they're being boycotted or what, but a lot of people are getting shit for supporting Trump in El Paso or into businesses that supported him or voted for him or campaigned for him.
Well, how about the fact that the mother of that shooter, the El Paso shooter, contacted the police about her son's new gun?
Is she being canceled?
This is according to her lawyer, so I don't know what that means. But one of the things is she wanted to know, is he supposed to have this? He doesn't seem to know how to use it. Does he need a license for it?
You know, it's like,
no, he's totally fine.
Yeah, I don't even believe that characterization because I read about this morning and it suggested that, you know, she wasn't calling because she was worried about him or anything.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, come on.
Then why
really?
Else are you calling?
Why would she call the police?
My son has an assault weapon. She's not worried about him.
No.
I think she was probably very worried and she probably should have been worried.
Yeah, but she can't say that for fear of, I guess, getting sued.
Yeah, well, it'll be her fault. I mean, I don't know if there's any room for her to have fault, but I don't know. I would think if you were going to yell at people and blame people, you would blame parents before you'd blame anyone, which isn't fair. Yeah. I mean, in some cases it might be, but in many cases it would not be. And I could extend that to a lot of things, not just these mass shootings. Anyway, we had a real friendly email about mass shootings, too. Let me see if I can
find it. Didn't you say that no one was allowed to
write in response? I did.
So aren't you encouraging that?
I'm surprised we still have a show. We have so many complaints about so many things. But Chad says, please stop talking about firearms until you at least do some research and understand what you're talking about.
All right, what did we get wrong?
I love you guys, but you sound like children trying to change the rules of a game you don't like. And my response was, this conversation has been going on for 20 years. You don't have to be a firearms dealer to discuss mass shootings. He said, very true, but if you don't know anything about a firearm besides that it's called an assault weapon and the general function of the object, you sound ignorant. The things you would do, that things you would do bit was cringeworthy as hell. That things you would do bit?
Yeah, when you asked us what we would do.
Oh, it wasn't a bit. It was a real question. And it was a judgment-free zone. Relax, Chad. Why don't you calm down? Obtain some common sense.
Some research. Sorry, Chad.
What kind of an expert do you have to be to understand a mass shooting? An assault weapon doesn't go... what does it do? Explain to me what I need to know about an assault weapon. You know more about assault weapons than I do, Brandon.
Why do I know them? Because my friends have them?
Well, you know more about guns in general.
I play a lot of video games that have them, and I can tell you right now...
I'm worried.
I can tell you right now, when I'm playing Grand Theft Auto and I have a choice between a handgun... or a machine gun, I'll go with the machine gun.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Oh, sorry, I can't call it.
Use your common sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I said was, you know, I don't want to argue about what's an assault weapon and what's not an assault weapon.
We had a federal
agent. We know if they shoot bullets really fast as opposed to go bang, bang, bang when you pull the trigger manually like the police do when they're shooting at the guy, that's a big difference. Yep. I understand that.
Yep.
And you can shoot a lot of people really fast.
You sound like children.
This guy in the boner line said, internet sales and gun show purchases of firearms already require a background check. God forbid you guys ask someone with facts. I'm a federal agent. I work with these laws every day.
What's sitting on Mitch McConnell's desk then? What are we?
I don't know.
Am I out of my mind?
He says the gun show loophole is...
so there's no person.
Okay, so there isn't a problem. Well, let's just forget it.
There's no person-to-person sales?
Along with I guess not. Said about
And there's no gun show loophole, and there's already full background checks in place.
Everything's cool. No problem.
All right, fine.
It's done.
It's video games.
This is why I love this topic so much. I'm not. What's the complaint? He's saying that the gun shows require background checks and person to person.
Yeah, I just hold on. Yes, he says he's a federal agent who works with these every day. Any transaction from a licensed dealer requires a background check. Have you ever purchased a firearm? I've never seen a private seller.
What's asking
him
to explain? We'll be right back and ask him to explain what is sitting on Mitch McConnell's desk. What is that?
Well,
what has been sitting there since February?
He says every transaction from a licensed dealer.
Yeah, those have to be those.
Are they licensed dealers at?
You know, it's just a pile of talking points on both sides. There's no common sense here. Just whatever, forget it. Let's just let people shoot people. And
what else does Stephen Ross?
Those of us who are left will talk.
What else
about
Stephen,
other things?
What else does Stephen Ross own that we can boycott?
Michigan, University
what?
Of Michigan.
Never
Isn't school football. Doesn't he support football?
Yeah, he does.
I don't think anybody's going to boycott Michigan football. There's something.
You know how common of Birmingham had naked people outside their
hot. Yeah, getting it on. I think they wanted
outside
to be
the
caught.
Cop shop.
They wanted to be caught.
Did they?
I don't know, maybe.
What I don't understand
was,
about
what
this
time
story.
Of day was this?
I gave you the story. So, do you
have... August 1st after midnight.
After midnight.
Well, they're probably parked to go to one of the
You're
bars.
You're gonna get
down.
It on.
Nice.
200 Martin Street, which is next door to the police station.
Weren't they parked in a place they weren't supposed to be parked at, though?
Maybe. Well, you shouldn't really park close to a police station.
No, but I mean like a loading zone, an unloading zone. Oh, here it is. Car was parked in a spot marked for municipal vehicles only.
Oh, my God.
Whoops.
And it was all steamy, and they equated it to the car in Titanic.
24-year-old.
Where Leo and...
Oh, yeah, Leo.
Kate Winslet got it on with the hand.
Jack and Rose.
That scene that you love.
24-year-old man, 25-year-old woman. No clothes on.
What? Why do you have to be totally naked, though?
Getting it on.
They were just so horny and so bombed, probably.
Yeah.
Making out in the bar, and they just couldn't wait.
You don't want the zipper to eat that thing up.
This might be better to DUI anyway. If they were drunk,
yeah, but
they
to
had
to
be
totally
drunk to be
naked.
Nude. But if you were no, but actually, if you were drunk, you wouldn't need to be nude. You just need to connect the genitals,
right?
Without complete nudity,
it's so much easier to get your act together.
Yeah.
Oh, you feel good. Yeah, right by a hotel.
Yeah, and Birmingham. I don't know. I just waited until they got home to Sterling Heights.
Aaron Carter's in the news, so
yeah.
I'm sure Righteous Rick is paying close attention to this.
He should. Wouldn't this increase the value of the phone?
Yes, I think it would. Aaron Carter's a danger to himself and others. Is Righteous Rick hoping he kills himself so that his shoes will be more valuable? Just asking.
I'm sure he's hoping for anything to increase the value of the phone.
I just saw Righteous Rick on Twitter. What was he...
Was he fighting with somebody?
Yes, he was. I think he was saying that Colin Kaepernick sucks.
Wow, really?
I think that was what it was. Did you see it, Brandon?
No, I did not, but I can look right now.
Oh, I forgot.
I think it was Colin Kaepernick posted something like, up at 5 a.m., working out 5 days every day for the last 3 years.
His latest tweet is, it's actually a link to the Aaron Carter story, and it says, laughing my ass off, this guy is a bumb, B-U-M-B. This guy's a bumb.
Bumb.
Why does that make me laugh?
Because it's funny. I forgot he had texted me on Tuesday, and I'm going to read verbatim. Yo, tough guy. How about an update on Righteous Rick? People are asking about the Aaron Carter phone and me fighting again. I'm going to get in to see Aaron this weekend at Temple in Flint.
Oh.
And I was offered a fight. Fans need update.
Ooh.
..
Here's his response to a Colin Kaepernick tweet.
Okay.
He is a Moran. M-O-R-A-N.
Wait, a Moran?
Moran. He's related.
Rick!
He's related to Aaron Moran.
Cool. He's a Moran? That's all he said?
What a Moran. He really does try to fight with a lot of people.
I know. Well, people like to pick on him.
I'm done responding to your weak little coward ass.
All right, let's see the whole thread. I want to see the whole thread.
I don't even know where I can find it.
Your weak little coward
scroll
ass.
Scroll up.
Oh, wow.
Keep going. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. What's this? Is he talking about UFC or something?
It must be, yeah. Well, you know about getting picked on for UFC, Brandon. UFC.
I do, yeah.
Well, while you're trying to figure out his Twitter, see if you can put it together, and I will just inform people that cops went to Aaron's home. Aaron said he was totally fine. They performed a welfare check. Wednesday morning at Aaron's Lancaster crib because a family member called saying she was concerned about statements Aaron made last week. That was around the time he broke up with his girlfriend, Lena Valentina. We're told the person who called cops was concerned Aaron was going to take his own life or hurt someone else. They also feared he was doing drugs and could overdose. But couldn't you do that every day? Couldn't you call every day about this stuff? I mean,
most importantly, does like this put his Saturday show in Flint?
That's what I'm wondering. Could Rick be snubbed?
On the balance? I don't know.
Aaron, who started dating Lena last fall, wasn't home when the cops first arrived. He ultimately came to meet with them, and they determined everything was okay. Sources close to Aaron tell us the singer believes his pissed off ex may have had a hand in getting the cops sent to his house. We're told Lena was staying with Aaron even after they broke up, but he kicked her out of his crib Wednesday, and she flew into a rage. Oh, nice couple they are.
Jeez. Uh-huh.
Aaron wants a smooth breakup, but threatened legal action against Valentina if she doesn't back off.
Is he going to perform these hits in Flint?
Are you guys amazed that people still go to see Aaron Carter?
Yeah!
Why is there so much?
I realize we all have entertainment dollars, and we spread them where we want to spread them, but I'm surprised people will spread that many entertainment dollars towards Aaron Carter.
Yeah, I've really got to be a star for entertainment. Well, you should.
I mean, child stars never go away now.
I know.
They don't. Remember when they used to just go away and get fucked up and OD and bye? Bye.
He's or they had to get regular jobs.
He's playing with that Ryan Cabrera and O-Town, so I got to believe it's just going to be women that were girls when they were popular.
Ryan Cabrera was like an extra on The Simpsons Show, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Ashley Simpson. Okay,
yeah.
It was Jessica Simpson's show. Ashley was her sister. He was the boyfriend, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
And he played a little acoustic guitar, man. I mean, did he have a bunch of hit records that I don't know about?
No.
People still want to go see him?
I guess.
That's an awfully loose connection to...
I would go see him just see if he has still that stupid hair. Remember his spiky hair?
Oh, by the way, Ryan Cabrera, I think he does those living room concerts. I think I saw him doing a living room concert for like 12 people.
Sure, look at his hair.
Oh, holy crap. Oh, my God.
Now, O-Town was on TV.
Wow.
They were on a TV show.
Yeah.
That's kind of big, I guess, sort of, kind of.
People love stuff.
You say so.
But if you have to combine O-Town, Aaron Carter, and Ryan Cabrera to play what venue, Brandon?
Oh, I can't recall what it was.
The Capitol Theater in Flint.
How big is that place?
I don't know.
I want to do some math.
Lance Bass is going to be there, too, by the way.
Why does Lance Bass have to be in the middle of this?
Because he's gay.
He's the headliner.
He represents LGBT at everything.
But he has more of a career, you'd think. Doesn't he have a show?
You'd think.
As a solo artist, does Lance Bass have much success?
He has on one of those daytime shows.
He can do all
this. On a
regular
basis.
Oh, he has a show?
Yeah, he's on... What show is that?
He can do all his NSYNC songs.
You know, it's hard to keep track. I'm not just saying this because I mispronounced Kelly whatever name's his name. But there are so many small stars now with all these YouTube accounts and all these reality shows and all these networks that have myriads of... I mean, they make stars all the time out of these nobodies.
Well, they have to come up with...
The Real Housewives. The people know who those people are.
Because there are too many channels, and they have to find crap to put on them. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's so many people.
Of available tickets.
It holds 1,800.
Well, they've sold about 600 then.
What are the green...
Okay. Those are all available.
You've got three...
Oh, my God.
These are three acts that are not local. They have to fly in... Do you think they get first class travel, Mark?
No.
What a con.
They're sitting in coach. I want to
see the rider for this show.
They're sitting in coach like Tori and Jenny Garth from 90210 last
yeah,
night.
Yeah, saw that.
So stupid.
Wait,
$75 for the best seats here. That's their problem. They're overcharging. $50 for the mid-range.
See, that's what I mean when I say limited entertainment dollars. $75 to see Aaron Carter... Ryan Cabrera and O-Town?
Yeah.
How many original O-Town members are in this show?
I don't know.
Couldn't they save money by transferring that to a smaller venue?
You would think, yeah.
I think if,
they have like about 100 seats there, right?
If it's come to this,
that's
I think it's
pretty bad.
This is a tour that did not need to be thought up. Who came up with this idea? I think they
Lance
should
Bass.
Be told they had a bad idea.
It's like four of the original six.
We'll combine Ryan Cabrera, Aaron Carter, and O-Town.
They're coming off their performance at the Indiana State Fair on Friday.
That's kind of a gimme, though, isn't it? They have to fill space at those things.
The state fairs, lots
of acts.
It's onto the Park Jam Music Festival in London, Canada. And then they're playing the Carson Center in Paducah, Kentucky.
Okay, can you check the Carson Center in Paducah, Brandon?
And then the Mid-South Fair in South Haven, Missouri.
I don't know why I love doing this. I love seeing the tiny venues people are playing in. When it's someone I like, I'm like, oh, please don't be too tiny.
But at least the people you like have the good sense to go to a place that's appropriately
sized. Well, they don't always. I mean, sometimes it's someone I really like, Carson and they're playing a really small place. And, oh, boy. It's really a bummer.
Oh, boy.
It's really sad.
Good news, though. There's plenty of seats available for the Carson Center performance. Believe it or not, there are more.
Paducah? In Paducah?
Yeah.
How big is the Carson Center?
Looks like it's about the same size, just judging on the seating chart. And oh, no, you know what? There's a balcony, which has only sold, what, about 14 tickets. Plenty of space to stretch out.
So sorry.
I'm sorry. That was the secondary balcony. The first balcony sold about 15.
Oh, my God.
Did you guys see the Peach Pit last night? Peach Pit is still there?
Looking good.
Really? Yeah. Hey, was the owner of the Peach Pit on? Was he on the show last night?
Yeah. He died.
Oh, that's right.
Joey Tata has passed.
Wait, I thought...
Joey Tata, I can't believe you remember his name.
No, but remember, he sold it to...
Yeah, I thought Brian Austin Green.
No. He sold it to Jason Priestley. What's his character's name?
Oh, it's not Silver?
Brandon. Brandon Walsh. Oh,
Brandon punched someone.
What?
Yes, last night he punched...
Ooh.
Oh, wait, did he get punched? He got punched. Wait, no, he punched. He punched a singer. He was directing.
Oh. Oh, that's right. I did see.
So stupid. The
guy was in his face and he called him old.
Mind your own business, yeah. Brandon.
Is this show going to work?
No, it's terrible.
You know what I hate about this show and about The Hills, the reboot? I won't even watch that anymore. Is it's all about pushing their business.
Yeah.
Spencer's Stupid Crystals.
Yes.
What's his name? Justin Bobby's Band.
The problem is with the 90210, so it's kind of like a real life, fictional real life. And so Tori Spelling is... Her show got canceled, Tori and Nate. And I saw it and I go, that's not her husband's name.
Yeah, it's a bit confusing.
It's just dumb.
This is the first I've ever heard of Pratt Daddy Crystals.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, they plug it all the time on the show.
Do you think he got that idea when he was hanging out with Alex Jones? Remember, they're boys.
I can't stand Spencer.
Hey, the whole show, fucking crystals.
The whole show is about him arguing with everyone.
Oh, God.
His battle.
That's a show.
Beef. I know it's, but nobody. I don't care who wins, and I don't care if it's ever resolved.
Yeah,
and I don't like any of the people he's arguing with either. Yeah, so I don't even root for anyone. So I just wanted to see what the first couple shows were like, and it was just absolutely stupid. And Tommy Lee's Brett is just, I don't know, he's probably a nice kid, but truly boring. I mean, we see
Whoa,
these people.
What? Tommy Lee's Brett is boring.
No, he's boring. He is just boring.
Man.
I don't think he knows why he's on the show. I don't think he knows what to say. And. Same for Justin Bobby. Who cares? He looks so stupid. His haircut is just ridiculous. And he pushes his voice. Oh, Brandon. Brandon was really nervous going to his first show, his first TV show, because he has to carry it.
No, he doesn't.
Or movie. No, his first movie or TV show. One of the, yeah. He's being counted on to carry it. It's his first show.
Did his mom come over to give him another pep talk?
No.
What?
That was so lame, too, because when she came over, all I could think of was, wow, Pam Anderson looks old, finally. she looked really good for a long time, but she looks like, not so good.
The song blows.
Worst song
no, it's
ever.
Really,
I don't
it's
know
awful.
How he convinced the,
sorry,
rest
Brandon.
The rest of the band to do it.
I don't know.
You are the one. I'll punch you in 20 years in the face.
Didn't he tear him out of Pam's arms when he was a baby? So, yeah.
Hey, Brandon, did you get my notes about Boogie Nights?
I did.
I recorded it last night, and there were so many drops we used to have that we don't have anymore.
Yeah,
oh, my God. Those are the best. That movie is so full of great drops.
I got. I woke up and I had a million messages from you. I was like, what's going on? And sure, it's like, hey, at 50-50, we need this. at 52-32, we need this.
You know what I didn't catch, because I didn't catch the beginning of the movie, is when Burt Reynolds says...
something wonderful in
something
your pants.
Something wonderful. Yeah. His pants just dying to get out. to to Dirk Diggler.
Dirk Diggler.
Do me a favor, just mind your business, please.
Marky Mark.
Such a great drop. His voice is awesome. But yeah, and do you think the bass is taken away from the vocals? That whole scene with the band is hilarious. Yes. And then the firecracker scene when they go to rip the guy off.
Yeah, during Sister Christian. Yeah, is that what they're playing?
Yeah, and the guy's doing air drums and air
that's
keyboards.
That's a great movie.
I recorded it last night. Oh, my God, that's a great scene. And his Chinese buddy, who I think is his butt buddy, who's chucking firecrackers every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Isn't that his boyfriend?
I think so.
Because he hugs him and he grabs his ass. And the Chest Rockwell and Brooke, when they become the action hero team, they go from porn to action heroes. And Burt Reynolds is like, this is the best work I've ever done. And when Diggler loses it, you know, when he's all coked up and he's been up for days, he's like, I want to fuck and I want to fuck now. Who am I going to fuck? And Burt Reynolds is like, hey, 20 minutes. We don't even have the scene set up. And he's going nuts.
Brock Landers.
Yeah, Brock Landers. And the documentary on Brock Landers.
Oh, my God. Hair.
I love how often he karate kicks in the movie. And also the dancing scene when he's disco dancing in sync with the other people. There's just so many great... I love this movie.
Don't forget Roller Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that whole scene in the limo really bums me out. I don't know why.
Philip Seymour Hoffman has a weird role in this, too.
He's great, too, though. Yeah, he tries to make out with Wahlberg.
Whoa.
I may have a new favorite part in that movie. It's when Wahlberg, you know, I want to fuck. No, who am I going to fuck? And he's like, hey, relax. And he's losing it out by the pool.
Yeah.
And you know, the new little cute boy who's the new porn star that's taken over that Wahlberg's all jealous of.
Uh-huh.
He's like, they're all ready to fight all of a sudden. And then... John O'Reilly, who is, I can't remember his name.
John C. Reilly, yeah.
John C. Reilly, yeah. He comes up with his fists up. He's ready to jump in on that guy.
Hey, Dirk, you ready?
He just kind of takes over the screen.
Nick, let's go, man.
Dirk Diggler demo.
Keep the vocals up.
You got the touch. Take 7.
Oh, and then when they can't get the masters from that guy, oh, my God. When
you
Dirk,
got the touch.
When Dirk S. O'Reilly, if he works out, how much he benches.
Yeah.
Both say it at once.
It's a cool song.
Yeah.
Very 80s.
Mark Wahlberg is pretty skinny there.
Yeah, he is.
I mean.
After all is said and done, you never walk, you never run, you're a winner.
You're a winner.
Jesse Riley.
It's the most cliche song possibly ever.
You got the touch.
Wow.
You think the bass is taken away from the vocal?
Jesse Riley not
really
in agreement.
Maybe. It sounds balanced to me.
It's definitely taken away from my vocal. Just to take the bass down and bring up the vocal. Okay, let's do it, Nick. You heard him.
You want to take it from the top?
Yeah, let's try it.
He will rock you. He will roll you. Baby, don't you know?
Yeah!
My heat will move your soul.
Wow.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
You gotta believe there's a lot of laughing when they were doing this movie.
Mark Wahlberg he can actually sing, can't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Unbelievable. He wasn't in EMF, was he?
No.
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Funky Bunch. Yeah. Right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Or was he really singing? I mean, a lot of that was vibration.
Vibrations. Dun, dun, dun. Don't forget, Donnie was in NKTOB.
That's right.
Come on.
That's him singing that high part.
So weird, I think it's the same guy.
Ever have an EMF? That was a great song. Unbelievable.
Oh,
not that they're cuspy or anything.
What about NXS? Is that on the?
Well, they found their new singer on Rockstar NXS. Remember?
Oh, right, that's right.
But it didn't work out.
Are they in the bracket?
No. Stop adding teams.
Oh, yeah, somebody wanted to add the Black Crowes again, and somebody wants to add
Crowes. Who said
You're
that?
Unbelievable.
I do love the Black Crowes. The Brooke Mueller story. Oh boy,
there's new. You want to hear her trying to score black tar heroin?
Oh, I thought I heard saw the meth thing where she's preparing the
meth. Yeah, but now this is the new update. Everybody's just dumping.
This is Charlie Sheen's ex who he had the twins with.
It's pretty
and they
sad,
used to drug man. Heavily together and probably party with multiple whores.
So the first story today was all about how she had the kids with her trying to score.
Yeah, she's leaving a 9-year-old in a hotel room while she's scoring drugs.
Oh, that's nice.
You should read it. It's pretty wild. But
it's, yeah, I read the whole thing.
So now the update is now there's instead of video of her rolling up some crystal meth or putting crystal meth in a pipe, it's her trying to score black tar heroin.
Now we're almost at Queens.
She says we're almost at Queens.
Those are men, not why I'm not a cop. You know what I mean? Because otherwise they don't know. Actually, what we want is, if it's possible, cocaine and meth. Crystal and coke.
Crystal and coke. Meth and heroin.
But it has to be the tar, black tar. And that's not for me. Yeah. Well, whatever it is, we're going to get it. And then I'll just Venmo you.
I'll just Venmo you.
That's the driver, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's just that. You're always sober for that. I always go on and off.
Everyone
does. Almost everyone. There's a few that stay sober, but not at my level.
So there's Brooke Mueller.
Is she related to Robert?
I don't know.
She is such a total mess.
Yeah.
Shocking, a new video shows Charlie Sheen's off-the-rails ex getting ready to smoke what looks like crystal meth in a filthy van. Yeah, the van is disgusting.
Total dump.
As one of their young sons sits upstairs alone in a hotel room, a wired-looking Brooke Mueller was caught on the footage, crouching in a van strewn with cash, trash, rolling a drug pipe between her fingers and clutching a lighter. She's trying to light up her drug pipe while one of her 9-year-old twins with Sheen sat alone in a hotel room. Okay, we already know that.
That kid was probably having a blast. She probably gave him an iPad.
Earlier, she had left Bobby alone with two strangers, both men at a restaurant in nearby city in Idaho, while she ran off to score drugs, returning after an hour. Trouble against this happened a year before. Another Page Six exclusive involving the actress' mom last month when she bought suitcases of drugs with her on a jaunt to Southampton.
Suitcase.
Page Six can now reveal that during the same Suffolk County trip, Mueller was caught on audio tape trying to score crystal meth and bargain basement black tar heroin. That was that tape, wasn't it?
Yep.
Brooke's family is very concerned about her relapse and about her safety. They're worried about her pattern of behavior that leads her to put herself in the hands of total strangers. The sort of black tar heroin Spokane sagas are only the newest disturbing incidents involving her. God, she's a wreck.
And I was banging 7-gram rocks and finishing them because that's how I roll. I have one speed. I have one gear. Go.
Did you mention the part where she left the kid at a restaurant with
two strangers? Yes. Thank you.
Wow, winning.
All I could think of is, who are these strangers that agreed to watch this kid?
Well, Mike Clark and Trish watched somebody when they went to Al Capone's.
No. It was Alcatraz.
Prison. Alcatraz. Yeah.
These are
that
two
was
dudes,
the funniest story possibly ever.
Two dudes at a restaurant in Idaho. Can you imagine being with a buddy in Idaho and someone asks you to watch the kid? Who's going to do that?
Pretty strange. I suspect maybe they were going to share the spoils when she returned.
Oh.
It's the only way I could figure it out. The Wild Washington.
They go get it.
Weekend trip began when she, well, they have her kid. She flew there alone, headed to the strip club, State Line Showgirls. Yeah.
Nice.
She left the club to score drugs and met a random couple at a seedy motel. The pair drove her to a drug joint near a hospital where someone stole Mueller's purse and all her credit cards, leaving her hysterical. Oh, I can imagine that.
Lord.
The next night, a broke Mueller, who was then reduced to persuading random people to lend her money by saying, I'm Charlie Sheen's ex. Look me up on Google. But I don't have AIDS. I've been tested. That's a lot to take in, isn't it? I'm Charlie Sheen's ex. Look me up on Google, but I don't have AIDS. I've been tested.
Duh. So does that
mean
that...
Wait, who does? Charlie has AIDS? What if they didn't know that?
If you look it up, is that one of the first things that pops up, that she has AIDS? Is she disputing the Google search that they want, that she wants them to do?
You know, and the picture of her they use, is she looks pretty freaking good.
State Line Showgirls, by the way, very classy looking joint. I'm being honest. Looks like a nice gentleman's establishment. Trudy, huh?
Oh.
Pretty nice.
I guess.
Patio.
Sure. The bar looks interesting.
She returned to the same strip club. The source said she left the joint hours later with a large group of random men. Her son Bobby arrived the next morning. Mueller took him to the summer home of a wealthy businessman boyfriend of hers at a private golfing community, Gaza Ranch. But the fed-up boyfriend soon kicked them out, and Mueller headed to the airport hotel with her son. Bobby was checked in the hotel near Spokane Airport minutes before by an acquaintance of Mueller. Meanwhile, outside the hotel, Mueller was begging to go somewhere to get more drugs to pull her out of the withdrawal the next morning. Just how am I going to wake up tomorrow, and who's going to drive me? This is what the tape says. Oh, I'm not going to be able to wake up with, this is what you don't get. I'm not going to be able to get on that plane, she whines on the video. According to the witness, Mueller brought out her drug pipe for a few hits. In the meantime, smoking meth is said to cause a more intense high than snorting or injecting. Really? Smoking more than injecting? It's hard to believe.
Here's the
more
video.
Than snorting?
Here's the video of her with the meth. Meth.
Just how am I going to wake up tomorrow?
Why is this on video?
That's why it had to be you guys. That's why I thought you guys were doing it. I'm not going to be able to wake up with... This is what you don't get. I'm not going to be able to get on the plane. What are you doing right now?
What are you doing right now? I'm
hotel,
suing you.
Hotel workers, meanwhile, knew the 9-year-old was alone in the room. They called police. Wingate front desk advising a very intoxicated female just left for the casino and left her child alone in the room. A Kaplan Hotel staff made a welfare check at 1:15 a.m. when they found him alone in the room, where they also discovered the prescription medication clonazepam. Wait, what a bunch of tattletales these people are. Officer was brought in, remained with...
She's kind of a pain in the ass.
Until Mueller returned an hour later, she was not charged, but threw a fit at hotel staff for tipping off the police. I would throw... Tattletales! Sadly, Mueller's drug issues were still clearly apparent as recently as last month. Back on drugs, Mueller showed up in the Hamptons early in the morning of July 14 with suitcases of drugs. Sources close to the Sheen X, who's been rehabbed 20 times, claim she had booked a hotel there but arrived 7 hours before her scheduled 3 p.m. check-in. She then met a random guy at the Rite Aid drugstore around 8 a.m. and tearfully begged him to take her back to his shared rental house, where she opened up her bag and unveiled an array of drugs, including cocaine.
Yeah, she loves randos.
According to multiple sources, Mueller, who appeared as if she had a liberal dusting of cocaine around her nostrils, urged the male housemates to party with her, telling those who did not want to indulge first thing on a Sunday morning after a late night out, "You guys are boring. What is wrong with you?"
God. The run I was on made Sinatra, Flynn, Jagger, Richards, all of them just look like, you know, droopy-eyed, armless children.
Frazzled Mueller was forcibly thrown out of the Hamptons' shared house 2 hours later when another resident returned and was appalled to find the wasted woman with her narcotic stash, which a witness describes as a scene from Al Pacino drug lord flick Scarface. Witness said the disgusted resident threw Brooke's suitcase right out the door into the street, and then he threw her right out after them.
Oh, Lord.
Then a day later, she was driving to Queens with a mystery man from the Hamptons
around
2 a.m., apparently trying to score crystal meth, cocaine, and black tar heroin. She slurs her words on the tape and discusses how she can get her hands on black tar, blah, 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 blah.
Hang on, I almost caught the dragon.
He goes on and on and on and on and on and on.
LSD, PCP, heroin, cocaine. What else you want to know?
So clearly, Charlie, you know, is the more responsible parent.
There. Denise Richards had custody of these two twins for a while, which, because Charlie was done, she was done. It's, they're not her twins.
Get them back?
They're half siblings to her kids with Charlie. So that was pretty cool of her. And then there was somebody in the story, and I kind of missed this part. When he got HIV, apparently he went on just an outrageous bender when he found it.
Really?
HIV, yeah. Because, I don't know.
Why not?
One more bender? What the fuck?
Yeah. We haven't heard much out of him. The last thing is just that he's broke and moving back with his parents, and his dad's sitting on a beach, spent the night on a beach during the wildfires.
You know, that's what that was the last thing.
That was the last.
Isn't that amazing? You could make... $22 million an episode.
Yeah,
of Two and a Half Men.
$22 million an episode.
I believe
could
it.
Not
oh
have
no,
been that
it was
much.
$2 million an episode. Maybe
$2 million
2.
Sounds about right.
I've contracted AIDS.
Maybe it's $22 million a season.
As I said before, I've got full blown AIDS.
It was a ton of money because I remember there were rumors he didn't have money. I remember thinking that's impossible.
Yeah,
he was making $2 million an episode. There's no way.
I just don't know how you have the energy to use that many drugs and do all of that. It just seems...
I think I'd just be
exhausted.
I would be sitting around all day figuring out how to spend it all. I think it would take work.
Yes. But
some people it comes easy.
Are you talking about Brooke, though? Or you?
I'm talking about Charlie.
Oh, I thought Trudy was talking about Brooke. Just
Charlie had to pay
her too. Yeah.
Oh, her too. Yeah. Charlie had to pay her $55,000 a month, but that got way reduced. So I'm sure her. I mean, can you imagine? You're a drug addict and you get $55,000 a month in child support. How easy it is to keep your habit rolling along.
Oh yeah.
What's the deal with all those randos though? Constantly needing something from random people.
Well, her problem is she's usually got a kid with her.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to placate this kid. Meanwhile, you got to keep your drug habit going. And you're traveling like crazy. I just think, you know, as far as her drug habit, wouldn't it be a lot easier if she just stayed home and she had a drug dealer nearby? And she, I mean.
Must not have the money for that.
I think someone could help her arrange her drug habit a lot better than
Charlie.
She did.
Charlie Sheen's, $2 million per episode. It's number 3 on the list of the top paid TV stars. Like, Ray Romano actually made $3 million per for Everybody Loves Raymond.
That's because I wrote and produced the show, too.
Kelsey Grammer made $3.1
million. Why?
Whoa.
I don't know.
I never understood Frasier.
All about revenue.
Yeah. Tim Allen made a lot, too. $2.5 million.
Yeah. Speaking of drugs, there was the chick who was busted in Virginia. No, not Virginia. She was busted for meth in her vagina. I'm sorry. But she said it wasn't. She said it wasn't hers, which was really interesting. It's like, wow, who is putting meth in your vagina, or is someone in there and they have meth on them, and
they're looking?
And there's another person helping them look for car keys, and they bumped into the meth, or what's going on there? But she was accused of stealing $5,000 from this man's apartment. She left, I guess, while he was in the shower. So they tracked her down for this guy, and they arrest her, and they have a female cop because they're like, okay, where's the money? And the cop finds $6,233 in her vagina and a gram of meth. So apparently her vagina invests very well because it was $5,000 she stole, and there was $6,233. She earned her vagina earned $1,233 in a very short time.
I want to get in that investment, but I don't want to get in that investment.
How do we get it? Can she?
With rubber gloves.
What is the size of that much money, though? Isn't that, you know, like, wouldn't it have to be rolled up?
It's pretty big, Trudy. Well,
she's got a lot of room up in there. A
couple guys looking for car keys in there.
She sounds like a good candidate for diva.
Then she can't carry on her stash.
You know, she's better off.
And then I saw this last night. Rosanna Arquette is just torn up. She feels so much shame, and she apologized for being born white and privileged. Pulp Fiction star made her candid statement via Twitter on Wednesday. In her frank tweet, the award-winning actress wrote,
I'm sorry.
I was born white and privileged. It disgusts me, and I feel so much shame.
Why is she apologizing? What did she could have done about
Why doesn't she give her money away? If her privilege bothers her so much, give the money away, become homeless, and you don't have to feel bad anymore. Or does she need
She'd still be privileged.
She could tattoo her skin black.
That's cultural appropriation.
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
That's a good idea.
Point of personal privilege.
She feels that bad.
Quick point of privilege.
If she gives all her money away, though, and is homeless, does she still have to apologize for her white privilege if she's homeless and she gives all her money away?
No, then
she's 59 years old. I don't think she has a lot of prospects right now. I think she would be in a pretty bad spot.
She still has that Toto song, though, to make her happy.
Yeah, she's got. There's another song written about
her. Okay, we'll leave a boombox with her and some headsets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
You can cheer herself up, although it is a Toto song.
What's going on this weekend? I was kind of sorry I missed Billy Idol and Brian Adams.
Aaron Carter is at in Flint.
That's right.
With Righteous Rick. There's a pretty sweet soccer game at the Big House on Saturday.
Oh, boring.
Yeah, Roadkill Knights.
No one's going to be there.
Boring.
I don't know.
Any good shows this weekend?
Yeah, Aaron Carter's going to be in Flint with Righteous Rick.
Any good shows this weekend?
Yeah, everything.
Tigers are in town. Oh, that reminds me. No Filter Sports, they just popped a huge number the other day. We were like, what is going on with No Filter Sports? They're building a nice, loyal audience. People that like that show really like it. And all of a sudden, they doubled their audience in 3 episodes. Whoa. What happened, Brandon?
Well, I think some of the guests we got started bringing some ears to the show. We had Dick Vitale a few weeks ago. We had John Sally last week.
And me.
Oh, that's it. It's got to be you.
And you.
Uh-huh. I had the number two episode of all time until John Sally just blew me out of the water.
Oh. He's got a personality for sure.
Oh,
not that you
great,
don't.
He's a great guest. He
Doobies are at DTE on Sunday.
The who?
The Doobies.
Oh, the Doobies.
Doobie Bros.
Yeah.
They're not even cuspy for our bracket.
I don't know. Every band ever is in the bracket.
But a couple cuspies are coming on August 13th. Korn and Alice in Chains.
Korn and Alice in Chains.
Next day is Smashing Pumpkins.
Okay. Oh, that's right, yeah. Noel.
And then next week is Hootie and the fucking Blowfish, bro.
I could do with that.
Whoa! cracked rear...
Window?
Oh, is that what
view.
That
cracked rear view.
Stupid album.
Yeah. Steely Dan, by the way, is the 29th, so anybody who...
No Walter Becker!
...digs the Dan.
It's just Ted Patchell and no one else.
Yeah.
There we go.
Little me, my nuts are small as hers. You and me, we come from different worlds.
I don't even know this song.
I know.
Sorry, I hit the wrong
one. I'm just like a squirrel.
Like to lie for me cause I'm hung just like a squirrel. Sometimes it bugs me, I'm not a bigger guy. When I was a baby it was exactly the same size. But there's nothing I can do, cause I only got a 3-inch toe.
That's a good song. I wonder if they're gonna play it.
They should just play that one instead.
That'd be
cool. See if anybody catches it.
All right, Brandon, you want to get us out of here? And I'll remind people to rate us on iTunes. We get a lot of ratings on iTunes. That's nice to see. You don't have to read the old ones. Not that the old ones are bad. You can do the same thing on Facebook, and you can like us over there, too. We're still stuck at 23,000. I don't know, man. My Twitter's stuck, too. I'll never get a hold of Screech at 14,000. Damn it! At Drew Mike Podcast for Twitter. How's your Twitter doing, Trudy?
I think I've got 5,600 and some change, so I could use a couple more people to join up.
At Trudy Dan?
Yep.
And then...
Trudy Dan? 5,655.
The Drew and Mike store is open for business, and it's supposed to be all profit now, which is good because we haven't made any money off all that crap we've sold. But now we can start making money. We're like that Who tour I was describing, or Roger Daltrey was explaining... Yeah, you do like 40 shows, and then the 41st and 42nd, you make all the money.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's really weird because he said there's always this pressure that if we cancel a show, we're fucked, you know, or we got to schedule another one or we'll never make any money.
What?
I know. It's really strange.
You're the who.
Sort of what I thought. I figured they got paid every night, but there's all these production costs and...
Well, you know what I was noticing?
I'm going in the production business, by the way, because they sure charge a lot.
Should. Aerosmith has that residency, and they're also doing other dates around the country. So they go back to Vegas, and then they go out on tour in other places. That's just nuts.
Makes a lot of sense.
Why do they need all that money?
Have a great weekend, everybody, and the best of brought to you by Scott Kunith. 248-797-7746 for Scott tomorrow. See ya!
It's the weekend!
Baby!